you're the store brand.
I'm Sandy. I'm Sandy.
Majority of patients had some kind of clinical benefit from this treatment.
The drugs prolong survival for patients with melanoma, but neither is a cure. The former chief of the powerful International Monetary Fund is expected to plead not guilty to sexual assault charges in New York today. CNN's Allison Kosick says a hotel maid accuses Dominique Strauss-Kahn of attacking her.
She says she found him naked inside. She is claiming that he allegedly chased her around the room while he was naked and ultimately, allegedly forced her, sexually assaulted her.
One of the worst wildfires in Arizona history is burning out of control. Leanne Green had to evacuate, but says she's got a lot to be thankful for.
I've got my husband and my daughter. We're safe. And we were able to get our photos out. And we're family. We're safe.
People who live along the swollen Missouri River in southwest Iowa and northwest Missouri are hoping the levees hold. About 600 people were told to evacuate in Hamburg, Iowa. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
People come to Ruth's Chris for more than just a great steak. They come to let off some steam. Take Rob, Joe, and Shelley. When they get wrapped up in a week-long assignment at work, they head on over to Ruth's Chris for a much-needed break over some sizzling steak served to perfection. It's a chance for them to loosen up, have a few laughs, and talk about anything. Anything but work, that is. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, serving more than just sizzling steaks.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
The March earthquake and tsunami in Japan, fear of more volcanic ash clouds in Europe, rising fuel prices, and intensely slow economic recovery. Way too much is being thrown at the airline business right now, and that is why the International Air Transport Association has slashed the industry's projected profit for 2011 to just $4 billion. That is less than half the previous prediction for profit, and it's less than a quarter what the airline business made last year. Despite an overall mess for airlines, one type of travel is expected to really heat up, along with the weather this summer. A survey by TravelClick finds business travel will surge over the summer, expected to be about 8% stronger than last summer, meaning the drag will be leisure travel. More than a 1% drop for Asian markets, including Japan's Nikkei. European indexes near flat. S&P futures down a half point. NASDAQ futures gaining 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
If you run a business, you've always got decisions on your mind.
Reducing my costs, protecting my people.
Fortunately, Aflac is an easy decision. It lets you enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your company. Aflac is insurance that pays cash benefits directly. And since it's voluntary, it costs your business nothing.
Better benefits at no cost.
Aflac! That's what I'm talking about.
Call 1-866-61-AFLAC or visit aflac.com/protect.
When you're shopping for a home, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we created the Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval. Come in, sit down, and talk with a Wells Fargo Home Mortgage Consultant, and we'll let you know the mortgage loan range for which you could qualify. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is a great first step to help you start looking at homes within your price range. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. A priority buyer pre-approval is not a commitment to lend. Please call for additional program details. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Dennis Miller, and if you aren't playing a Google a day yet, you're actually encouraged to use Google to find the answer. For example, here's today's question. I am the tragic child of the son of a glove maker. In one of my works, five people die by suicide, and in another, the title character and 13 others are killed. Who am I? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How's it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for...
First Shift with Tony Tripiano.
Good morning, and it is a Monday morning at that. Tony Tripiano with you on First Shift. We got a great show lined up for you today. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. I did. Got a lot done. Helped my father celebrate his 80th birthday, which was an awesome time. Awesome time was had by all. And really just an all around great time. Did not, as much as I enjoy doing this, did not want to return to the big chair this morning. But in fact, I'm here, I'm engaged, and I'm ready to go. You know, of all our show opens, I like that one the best because it really does point out all of the disparities between what he says and what he does. He being, of course, Governor Ricardo Schneider. All right, we're going to be open lines in this hour. We got some good stuff to get to. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is out. And I'll be talking about this a little bit more later on in the hour. But as you know, in the state of Michigan, it is illegal to ride a motorcycle without a helmet. Do you think it's time that we repeal that law? Should Michigan allow motorcycle riders to operate their cycles without helmets? Should they be allowed to do that? Yes, no, or the third option is with a minimum amount of insurance. And the reason I added that third option today is there's some legislation, proposed legislation, that would allow for such tomfoolery. I am not a big fan of no helmet motorcycle riding. And again, I'll get into that a little bit later on. But there's our First Shift poll question of the day. So you can go on to Facebook and plug that in there or send us an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. By the way, we do have a winner for our lunch with Tony, and it is Heidi. And I'll be having lunch with Heidi sometime soon, and certainly we'll report back to you. But that reminds me, it's a new month. Therefore, if you would like a chance to win lunch with Tony, you and up to four of your friends, well, all you have to do is go to thetonyshow.org, punch in where it says on the left-hand navigation page, punch in, and you'll see the little option, lunch with Tony. Go ahead and fill that out and send it. And next month or this month, later on at the end of this month, we will go ahead and pick a new winner. So I'll look forward to hearing where Heidi wants to go for lunch. I'm sure it'll be delicious, and who Heidi's going to bring along. And we'll look forward to that. Well, Mr. Radford, we find ourselves this side of a 2 out of 3 weekend with the Chicago White Sox. And I'm pretty happy with the result. Ryan Rayburn, the hero of all people in yesterday's game. And Miguel Cabrera really picking up the stick the last couple weeks. I'm feeling good about my Tigers, dude.
Well, you should. They're starting to come along.
Well, get a load of you. Well, you should.
Well, I'm not saying it in that tone, but I mean, you know, it's about time that that you can start feeling good about them. But again, that's how they do things. You know, they'll win a weekend series against the White Sox, and then you know they'll play Texas in who knows what. You know, it's up and down. They could lose. They could get swept by Texas for all we know.
Well, you know, for all we know, you're right, because they have been terribly consistent in being inconsistent. I hate to use that, but it's true. They have been terribly, terribly good at being not terribly good. I just don't quite understand that. But, you know, again, I don't play the game. I just watch it. Friday night they lost. Game made me a little nervous. Again, they just seemed to be a little lethargic, Jeff. I was a little concerned. You know, my attention was more towards my son's graduation, which was wonderful, by the way. The weather couldn't have been better. Certainly a moment of great pride for Mom and I. But watching the game after we got back from, you know, the graduation ceremony, I got the feeling, Jeff, like it was going to be just one of those games where they just didn't have it. And they certainly didn't have it. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I just get a feeling about them. What I'm glad was wrong. The feeling that was wrong was that it was going to last the weekend. It didn't, thank God. And so really pleased with the end result, taking 2 out of 3 from the Sox. And we needed, you know, we just need to win these series. We need to be a little more consistent, of course. John Kuster, Pistons coach, a former Pistons coach, let go. Tom Gore is wasting no time. And I would bet that Joe Dumars said, hey, Mr. Gores, and I'm sure he's calling him Mr., if we're going to do this, let's do it right away. There's no need to put this off. There's no way we're going to keep him. And I would think you'd probably agree, Jeff, this was a no-brainer. And no disrespect meant to Kuster, because the players did plenty of that for us. There was no way they were going to keep him. They did the right thing by calling this quickly.
Well, it was the worst-kept secret in Detroit. There has been rumors for a week now that he wasn't going to be kept, and even more so at the that some of the combines that they look at for future players of college guys that are coming out, there's like 2 coaches in the entire league that didn't show, and one of them was Kuster. And that's basically a telling sign that your coach isn't coming back.
Yeah, no question. So, and we already know he's got a job, right? He's going to go to the Lakers?
I haven't even followed Kuster's career. If that's the case, then you know more power to him. But like you said, it's just to blame him or to put it all on him. The thing that is kind of unnerving, though, is the Pistons change coaches every 2 years. I mean, you tell a coach coming in, well, look, you got 2 years, because then after that, we're looking for another guy. I mean, it is unnerving, the fact that they change coaches so often, and maybe that's why it was a no-brainer.
Well, you know, there's some truth to that. I looked at a couple of the names that they're throwing out there, as they do as soon as a coach gets fired, and, you know, the couple of names that I saw, none of them, you know, did much for me. I don't know. What do they need, Jeff? Well, I mean, you know, seriously, when we're looking
Miracle.
For the next... Well, you know, first of all, we don't really know what our roster is going to be. Their CBA is up as well, so chances are, I believe the draft is the 23rd.
I think you're right.
And then I think that they go on strike the 30th. Well, I'm assuming they're going to go on strike the 30th. So not you know, just here we go again, another professional sport, you know, on the verge of striking. Interestingly, and I remember this conversation a couple months ago, as this audience knows that gets up with us early, I listened to sports talk on and off throughout the day, and there was talk whether or not the fans would even care if basketball took a year off.
I would assume not. Like, I'm more into college basketball than the NBA because of the rules that they've come along with, where it's superstar-oriented. Like, last night, it was LeBron and Dwayne Wade versus Dirk. It's not them Heat and the Mavs. So, you know, I think it's a dangerous time right now for the NBA if they're thinking about a labor stoppage at all.
I agree, because I don't know that, you know, not unlike what baseball went through when they had their strike a few years back, you know, they did lose a lot of fans. I think that basketball would lose, professional basketball would lose a lot of fans if they were to strike. And in fact, again, suggesting that, you know, would they really be missed? And that really is a legitimate question, because let's be honest about it, and I almost feel this way about hockey, not quite as much, but it really is about the playoffs.
And you're finding that tonight. I mean, you saw the finals last night. People are tuning in because, A, it's, you know, it's the finals, it's the end game, and people are wondering if the Heat are going to win. But, you talk about one of the sports that can ill afford it. Now, on the other hand, the NFL, which looks like more likely to at least lose a few games, maybe, They're the one sport that can probably sustain a lockout or a labor stoppage, and people would come back in droves anyway. That's how popular their league is, and I'm looking forward to Thursday when we get Susan Spencer on.
Yeah, tell us a little. What Jeff's referring to is we've booked an, I don't know if she's an expert, but certainly she's got some credentials as a minority owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, if I remember correctly.
Yep, and also as a, I think she's also a lawyer, so she has a unique perspective about from the player side of it, from the owner side of it. And, you know, she can break it down pretty good. I've heard her before speak on this, and I thought it would be a very, very interesting to have her on talking about basically, you know, a labor strike.
Well, so. It is a labor strike. You know, we had talked about this last week, and I hesitate to call it a justification for talking about football on a politically oriented show. It is a labor strike. There is a lockout. The owners are not allowing the players to interact with their coaching staff, use their facilities. You know, this is a collective bargaining agreement, so it is very much in concert with what we talk about on this show. I just, not unlike you, Jeff, and many members of our audience are really into football, and the thought of not having a season is troubling for us all. And, you know, I kind of, last night when we were at my my sister's for my dad's birthday party, there were a handful of us sitting around trying to figure out if they get this thing done by this date, you know, they can start camp on this time. And, you know, I'm okay if they – actually, I'd be okay if they missed all the preseason games. But, you know, if they missed a couple preseason games, who really cares? No, nothing gets lost in that process. I'd love to see the season start on time. You know, whether it does or not is a whole other question. And, you know, I know that there's some legal stuff that may – that's going down this week, so – you know, Jeff, this doesn't need to be as ugly as it's been to this point. They really need to start making something. They've got to do something. And I think, you know, you and I were talking about this last week. One side needs to make a proposal. You know, make the other side say yes or no to something at this point. They're not even talking, and that's what bothers me more than anything. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll get our rundown for today. We've got a great in-studio guest and a lot of good stuff to get to. We'll talk about that motorcycle helmet law. I've got some messages for you from the Recall Snyder campaign. And so they reached out to me and asked me to get you some information. So we'll do that this morning as well. And as always, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truffiano. Good Monday morning to you. It's going to be a scorcher today, folks. Make sure you stay hydrated. Quick break here on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
He was, one acquaintance said, of solid and promising parts, and as brave as Caesar.
1310 AM, WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update continues to be good news out there. On the Southfield Freeway, you know we have the construction, the closure of Southfield from M10 down to Grand River 96 area. That's when we start to have one lane between there and roughly Michigan Avenue, both north and southbound. We're doing okay through there. Traffic is building a little bit, but looks like you can make your way through it. And then, of course, the rest of the Southfield Freeway is open from about Michigan down to I-94.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today. Look for a high near 85. Tonight, thunderstorms, a low near 67. Tomorrow, a chance of storms and a high near 88. Right now, fair skies at Metro Airport and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
What's the future of broadcast TV? More of your favorite TV shows, as always. Breaking local news, emergency alerts, in the palm of your hand. High-quality HD, 3D TV, more choices than ever. The future of broadcast TV? It's HD, 3D, mobile TV. Technology, not regulation from Washington, D.C. Check out what's next. Visit thefutureoftv.org. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
I plan for everything, but not a 612 credit score. It makes creditors think I'm unreliable. And I just found out our little bun in the oven is two buns. So we need a bigger place and a bigger loan. That's why I'm taking control of my credit at creditreport.com, getting the information I need to understand my score and how it works. At creditreport.com, I'm not a number. I'm Lisa. Or Mom.
Offer applies with enrollment in creditreport.com.
Mortgage rates are as low as 3%, 3.2 APR. Go to LendingTree.com today, where refinance customers save an average of $293 a month or more. Click or call 1-800-555-TREE to find out how much you can save today. That's 1-800-555-TREE.
Gas prices, can't explain them, can't predict them, but you can beat them. Just head to the Count on Chevy event for one of nine models over an EPA-estimated 30 MBG highway. See? Savings on gas is that simple. Just takes a trip to your Chevy dealer, and you can count on that.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning, and welcome back to First Shift. Again, 888-552-3595. Feel free to call. It's about you, what you want to talk about. We're always going to talk about what I want to talk about. You know, Radford, do you remember last week I was telling you and Todd about that wacko that sends me the really negative emails every freaking day?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so, you know, I was talking, obviously my son's birthday was Friday, and we did that whole thing, which was really cool, by the way, and got some really neat emails, and if I have time, I'll share some of them later. Anyway, this guy writes me, and he goes, you know, obviously, he says, you know, it occurred to me that you didn't mention, you know, what school your son went to. So you must have him at a private school, so you're one of those guys that doesn't walk the walk and talk the talk. Why would I, you know, why would I say what school my son goes to?
Why don't you just read out what his class schedule is, too?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, post a map to my house on the internet, you know, on my website. I mean, sweet God, what is this guy thinking? But, you know, it was his opening. I mean, this guy writes me every day, although he did take the weekend off. First time he's taken the weekend off, by the way.
Well, everyone needs a break once in a while.
Well, you would think. I mean, you know, ride my hump is a full-time job, dude. It's just crazy. So you're, let me ask your thoughts, Jeff, on the motorcycle helmet law in Michigan. Obviously, as you know, you've got to wear, if you're going to, you know, use a motorcycle in the state of Michigan, you have to wear a helmet. There are two bills in the House of Representatives. One of them would eliminate the helmet altogether after you are 21 years old. The other one would require you to carry a minimum amount of liability insurance in order for you not to wear the helmet. I'm not in favor of getting rid of the helmet. In fact, former Governor Jennifer Granholm has vetoed legislation that would have eliminated helmet use. The reason, for me anyway, Jeff, and this actually kind of points it out pretty nicely, is that you know, motorcycles represent only 3.25% of all registered vehicles, but 11.8% of all motor vehicle fatalities occur as a result of motorcycle use. And you got to think that helmet makes a difference. Not having that helmet would make a difference.
Well, and that's what I would want to know. I would want to know what the difference was with, you know, the numbers with or without a helmet.
I mean, they didn't give us that.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is I kind of like the one where it's, you know, you can not wear the helmet, but you have to have the liability insurance then.
Actually, I do have some data here. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates for every 100 motorcycle riders killed in crashes while not wearing a helmet, 37 of them could have been saved had all 100 wore helmets. So, you know, that's pretty significant. You know, that is pretty significant. 37% out of every 100 would be saved had they'd worn a helmet.
Again, though, isn't the legislation saving people from their own moronic decisions? I mean, if you don't want to wear a helmet, then sorry, Charlie. I mean, you should wear one just because you should save your own life.
Well, you'd think common sense would rule, but, you know, people smoke and they know that they shouldn't smoke. So, you know, and I'm one of them. So, yeah, I mean, common sense doesn't always dictate the way people do things.
Right. You should almost have a law saying you can only eat McDonald's once a week.
I would be in favor of that. In San Francisco, a few months back, well, maybe about a year ago, you know, they banned Happy Meals in San Francisco.
They're against happiness in San Francisco?
No, they're against kids choosing, you know, to eat all that garbage food because they want the toy. So, yeah, I've got this, you know, there's a freedom of choice issue here, and I get that. And I guess that's where, you know, fundamentally, that's why I'm throwing this question out to the audience today. Is should people just be able, you know, should we require people to wear a helmet, or should they be allowed to make that decision on their own and then deal with the, you know, after effect, God forbid, you were in an accident. Now, here's the problem. A closed head injury manifests itself in a lot of different ways, and it can be very costly, and insurance companies, of course, are left with that bill. They have to pay that medical tab year after year after year after year in a closed head injury situation. And so that's really where the problem lies. So your thoughts, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's go to the phones and welcome David in Farmington Hills. David, good morning. Welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, the guy chatting about the helmet laws.
Yeah.
I think you're leaving an equation out.
What's that?
The motorcyclist gets in an accident. I don't know what the minimum is. Let's say the minimum is $250,000 of liability. You get in a motorcycle accident not wearing your helmet. You have a closed head injury. You're going to eat up well over $250,000 worth of funds.
Yeah, actually, I was just saying that when they were getting you online. That's so that you and I are 100% in agreement there. Interestingly, David, the state of this legislation that I talked about would require that they carry at least, you ready for this number, David? $20,000 in personal liability. $20,000.
That's a joke.
That they need to do that in a week.
That's a joke. That gets you to the emergency room.
You're right. You're right. Are you in favor of helmet laws? Do you believe that, you know, they should?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because the thing of it is I'm not too particularly worried about protecting the folks that want to ride bikes without helmets, but I want to protect me and you. Why should my tax dollars get gobbled up because you don't want to wear a helmet? And it's kind of ironic because the same politicians that are in favor of this are also the same politicians that are in favor of very little Medicaid or
insurance
for those who can't afford medical care.
Right, and you're right. I mean, you know, David, you do make a point. I was sitting there, where's the connection between tax dollars and this? But you're right. There are a lot of people those that aren't insured, and unfortunately there are way too many. This ends up getting put on the state. And that's just a fundamental truth. Somebody with a significant closed head injury is going to find that they're not going to be able to work any longer. That puts them on disability again. You know, right, David? Tax dollars once again. I appreciate your thoughts. It makes no sense, folks, to me anyway. It makes no sense to do this. Now, I've got to share with you, Jeff, a situation that happened to me about a year ago. I was driving down Middle Belt in Livonia. And I went to switch lanes, and I indicated that I was going to switch lanes, which I did. In my blind spot was a motorcycle. Now, he was in that blind spot, and I didn't hear him, and I didn't see him. And I did look, and, you know, there was a cop nearby. I ended up getting a ticket, which I wasn't too terribly happy about. But the point I'm trying to make here is that he was in my blind spot. So I could have easily hit this guy, and there was, you know, I would not have necessarily been at fault, although I would have been at fault. You understand what I mean? I mean, it was in my, he's in my blind spot. You know, what was I to do? And so why, you know, again, he, thank God I didn't hit him, number one. And, of course, we weren't going that fast at that point, so God forbid, had he had gotten hit and fallen down, I'm going to assume he would have generally been okay. But motorcycles easily fit into that blind spot on way too many vehicles. Anyway, your thoughts? Time to get rid of that helmet law? That is our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. When we come back, we'll give you the rundown for today. We've got some audio I want to share with you. Yes, Congress in action. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Good morning to everybody. Let's take the break here on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes that construction along the Reuther eastbound 696 between Mound and Gratiot. That right lane is closed. That project's been going on for a while. Looks like this portion of it, it's got another week or so, week and a half, before they start to move on to another spot that's eastbound 696 from Mound to Gratiot.
Stop by McDonald's today and try a cool and creamy premium roast iced coffee starting at just $1.19. Available in hazelnut, vanilla, and sugar-free vanilla. Try your favorite premium roast iced coffee flavor today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today. Look for a high near 85. Tonight, thunderstorms, a low near 67. Tomorrow, a chance of storms and a high near 88. Right now, fair skies at Metro Airport and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Organizers of a labor rally in Erie, Pennsylvania on Saturday intended to show solidarity between unions currently in negotiations with General Electric. They expected more than 1,000 workers to show up, but when more than 3,000 filled the Hammer Mill Center at Gannon University, the organizers said they were surprised. 10 unions have been in negotiations with GE since May 23rd. The current contract offered by GE would end the defined pension plan for new hires and implement a health care plan that doubles the cost for workers. Outside of the contract, another issue that was highlighted at Saturday's rally was GE's profit making while not paying taxes. According to a recent report in New York Times, GE saw $14.2 billion in worldwide profits in 2010, with $5.1 billion thanks to U.S. operations. GE reported that it only paid 7.4% in taxes on those U.S. profits. What GE pays in taxes is barely a third of the average of other major corporations. Further upsetting workers is that GE has reduced U.S. employment by 22,000 jobs since 2007, even while President Barack Obama has tapped GE chief executive Jeffrey Immelt as U.S. job czar. Meanwhile, a couple states away in Wisconsin, Walkerville returned to the Capitol. Walkerville is a tent city of sorts that originally popped up during the first 30 days of protests at the Wisconsin Capitol. This week, Walkerville returned, surrounding the Capitol, to protest the governor's deep budget cuts. Doug Cunningham spoke with some of the first residents of this new Walkerville.
Betsy Kippers, vice president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, was one of the first people setting up tents in Walkerville.
Since we are no longer able to voice our protests inside the Capitol building, we decided to set out a tent city outside the building to make sure people are hearing our voices against Governor Walker's budget, which is being dealt with this week. So we are going to be out here until the budget is done, and we are going to have our voices heard about the damage that Governor Walker is doing to the citizens of this state with his budget.
Beth McClure was erecting a tent with her husband and two small children.
Close to $800 million of education cuts are a real concern for us. Medicaid cuts the national level, the conversation about Medicare. I just hope that this brings more attention to the issues of income inequality and the fact that we as a country have decided to give benefits to wealthy corporations and wealthy individuals while middle class and working class people are paying for the Great Recession.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano, on a Monday morning. And we do have a nice lineup for you today. Very, very excited. Just about 25 minutes, State Representative Harvey Santana will be joining us in studio. Spend an hour with us and chance for you to get to know him a little better. We enjoyed Jeff, and we had him on the first time, you'll recall. We had a great time with Harvey on the phone. And so it should be interesting to have him in studio. Do you think we're going to need to pad the room? This guy's on fire, man.
I don't even know if an hour is enough either. It'll be an entertaining hour from 7 to 8 for sure.
Well, he's going to be with us the first Monday of every month now. And, listen, when you get a good guest like that and you get an opportunity really to share him with an audience, you got to take advantage of that. So I'm looking forward to that. State Representative Harvey Santana will be with us from 7 to 8 o'clock. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will join us at 8. He is freshly back from the Mackinac Policy Conference. Needless to say, he probably didn't have as good a time as Rick Snyder's bunch, but that's okay. He brings news, and we'll look forward to that. And then one of my favorite people in the world, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be joining us at 8:30. For those of you that don't know him, you're in for a real treat. I had posted on the Facebook page yesterday that he's the true Mr. Smith, and Mr. Smith goes to Washington fame. There are certain people, when you think of career politician, and I know I've said this on the show before, it's got a negative connotation to it. Not so with Hanson Clark. When I think of a career politician in the mold of Hanson Clark, I think of someone that gets up and goes to work every single day with his constituency in mind, and not just the 13th Congressional District where he represents, but all of Southeast Michigan and the country for that matter. And he has been doing a lot of work on behalf of Homeland Security, and so we will look forward to visiting with him at 8:30. So we've got a lot of good stuff to get to today. I did receive an email this weekend from the organizers to recall Governor Rick Snyder, and so let me get to that information. It says, if you would please put out a call on your show, stating that we're just getting started and we're already going full steam. In the last 2 weeks, we have disseminated 120,000 petitions throughout the state, virtually blanketing it. Now, that's 120,000 petitions, not signatures. So that's a lot more signatures than 120,000. And they went on to say, in the weeks to come, we will be insulating that blanket with an additional 120,000 petitions. It's difficult to obtain an accurate count, but they're feeling very, very, very good about the reaction. Now, it was interesting because somebody posted on Facebook last week that they were at, and maybe I mentioned this, I don't recall if I did, but it's worth repeating. They had mentioned that they were collecting signatures outside a church fair, and they were told that they had to leave. So they carry these little cards with them that explains what the law is. So, as long as they're on a public sidewalk, they're more than, they should be more than welcome to stay. Well, they made sure they were in a public spot. And again, the fair, somebody, that was organizing the fair asked them to leave, to not collect signatures in front of the fair. So they said that if they didn't move, they would call the police. So indeed, they called the police. The organizers of the fair did. Well, the cop shows up. And understands that they're in a public place, they're standing on public property, there was really nothing he could do. So what did he do? He signed the petition to recall the governor. I love that story. So I am terribly glad that happened. So, you got to know the law, folks. Got to know the law. That was pretty darn cool. As I was reading up for the show for today, we ran that audio. You know, before we get to that story, let me do this. We do have Hanson Clark on a little bit. He was able actually to do something that very few in Congress have been able to do, and that's garner bipartisan support for something. So, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later on, but we don't have long enough for me to play this audio later. So I'm going to play it now, and then we'll kind of back into it when we have him on later on. But Jeff, go ahead and play that audio from Congressman Hanson Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I offer another amendment amending page 47 of H.R. 2017.
Clerk will report the amendment.
Amendment offered by Mr. Clark of Michigan, page 47, beginning at line 14, strike.
Gentleman from Texas.
Mr. Chairman, I reserve a point of order on the gentleman's amendment.
Point of order. Clerk will read.
Page 47, beginning at line 14, strike provided further that funds provided under Section 2003 of the Homeland Security
Mr.
Act
Chair, of
2002.
Gentleman from Michigan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to waive the reading requirement of
my
amendment.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the gentleman is recognized for 5 minutes in support of his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this amendment does is remove the restriction that the Urban Area Security Initiative funding should be restricted to the top 10 urban areas by risk. You see, there are other metropolitan areas in this country that I believe are at similar or even higher risk of terrorist attack or damage through any other type of catastrophe. The Metro Detroit area is one of those. That area, the area that I represent, has the busiest border crossing in all of North America. It has an international airport. It has a huge metropolitan population center. It has the world headquarters of General Motors. We're at high risk of an attack, but yet right now, according to the Homeland Security risk matrix, we're not rated in the top 10. We should be eligible for this funding, as well as other metropolitan areas. Here's the point. Even though bin Laden is now gone, we are still at risk of a terrorist attack in this country. But it's more than likely that that terrorist will likely come from within the borders. So the first defense that we have against terrorism or any other natural disaster is our first responders. We need more firefighters, more police officers, more emergency medical providers. They need to be properly trained and have the equipment, the radios and communication devices to communicate to each other. The best way to protect arsons, it's not spending it only overseas, all of our tax dollars, but investing it here right at home. This amendment will make sure that urban areas who are at high risk of an attack, such as Metro Detroit, get the funds that they need. The bottom line point is this. The reason why we should step in to support our local units of government is because this Congress in the past did not effectively address the foreclosure crisis, which has really robbed local units of government of their power to fund their first responders. The property values have dropped so low, the money isn't even there. I'm asking Congress now, don't turn your back on this obligation to the American people. Let's redirect money to the Homeland Security budget, to our first responders, our people that are there at the first line of defense against an attack from a terrorist or against any type of natural disaster that could impact our people. Mr. Chair, I urge this committee's support for this amendment.
And that did get bipartisan support. There was a speech that happened just a few moments later. Now, I want to tell you that this brilliantly closes the circle on an entire funding issue. And if you were following the bouncing ball, what Congressman Hanson Clark was definitively saying was, because of property values and the inability to collect property taxes, municipalities, as we talked about, you know, the city of Taylor the other day, laying off the 19 firefighters. They also laid off 9 police officers. Great article in the Detroit Free Press yesterday about Royal Oak and the problems they're having. On the 22nd of May, they had a major problem with partiers leaving the bars at 2 o'clock in the morning all at once. They had over 200 people in a fight, and they had to call in policemen from other municipalities because they have decimated their ranks. And so what Congressman Hanson Clark is saying is that, you know, we can't expect the few people that we now have protecting us to continue to do that and to identify potential terrorism with no ability to fund this stuff. And so as the Republicans, again, want to cut that budget, Congressman Clark obviously had the foresight to say no. And a further, you know, almost an insult, we are a major business center. The city of Detroit is a major business center with, you know, General Motors having the world headquarters there, with, you know, the airport, with the border crossing, both in Port Huron and, it, you know, the Windsor-Detroit area, that we wouldn't qualify for funding because we weren't considered a major risk. I mean, what do you have to, I mean, what kind of burden do you have to prove in order to show that, to demonstrate that there's a risk? And so congratulations and bravo to him for brilliantly closing that circle and placing, you know, the issue where it needed to be. And then to further get bipartisan support for that issue was pretty extraordinary. So I want to thank the freshman congressman from the 13th Congressional District for his foresight and his courage to stand up to Congress. And the reason I played that whole thing, I think Jeff thought I was a little crazy because it sounded awfully wonkish in the beginning. I just, you know, I kind of like that stuff so you can hear how it really goes on. Yep, all that interrupting. It's all procedure. It's all policy, but it's all necessary. All right. When we come back, we talked about the Fox News piece about the neighborhood with the crackheads. Well, an upscale area of Detroit, the Palmer Woods area, has decided to take their security into their own hands. We'll talk about that. If you want to join us, feel free to give us a call. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. A quick break. We'll be back on First Shift right after we take this break.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
1310 AM, WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid radio show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid radio show is for you.
The My Great Kid radio show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. Participate in McDonald's.
I got the gold with this prescription.
We got the gold with mouthwash.
Go gold with your Wellness Plus card and you'll get 20% off your entire Rite Aid store for a year. Every purchase gets you closer. Every prescription gets you closer, faster. No other pharmacy gives you more value.
We saved almost $100 since we turned gold.
So how are you going to get to gold? Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com. That's the value of wellness. Certain limitations apply. Government-funded prescriptions and prescriptions dispensed in New York and New Jersey and certain non-prescription items are not eligible. See a local Rite Aid for details.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk, the home for First Ship with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. That means about 15 minutes away from State Representative Harvey Santana. He's actually in studio with us, and he's here, and we're looking forward to that. As I said before the break, we had covered the story on Friday, Jeff, about that neighborhood in Detroit at 8 Mile and 75 that put up that sign. In fact, it's still on the Facebook page. So, Jeff, here we go. I don't know. Are you familiar at all with the Palmer Woods section of Detroit?
Not familiar. It's not like I visit there quite often.
All right. Well,
I
actually,
know of it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a beautiful area. It's a very beautiful area. Well, they've now taken security measures into their own hands, and they've actually hired a security company. Are you ready for this, dude? Paramilitary-style patrols.
Paramilitary style
patrols.
That sounds pretty harsh.
Well, it is pretty harsh, but, you know, they want to take care of what's theirs.
And well, we said this when that sign was posted, that you're going to see a lot more, especially with the response that that got. You're going to see a lot more communities coming out and do it and taking things into their own, their matters into their own hands.
Well, here, according to Brian Johnson, the association's security director, they have their own security director, residents realized that, quote, it wasn't enough, the police patrols, that is. There was no unique, real idea of how to maintain a neighborhood and provide a distinctive against, a disincentive against break-ins. So the association went a step further. This past March, they hired Detroit-based Recon Security, a firm with paramilitary-style personnel, and they're owned and operated by a Highland Park police lieutenant to patrol the neighborhood. The patrols even stop non-residents to make sure they have legitimate business or a connection to residents. So if you're even in the neighborhood, Jeff, and, you know, now these guys are there every day, so this is what they do, so they know who lives there, they'll stop you and say, excuse me, what are you doing here? Most Palmer Woods residents immediately embraced the presence of the guards. Others were a little put off by it. According to a Detroit public school principal who lives in the area, he said, I had some questions and I was wondering how the neighbors would react. I think everybody's definitely on board now. They're very active, she ended up saying about the recon team. The black Hummer H2 pickup appeared intimidating as it rolled around 5 miles per hour throughout the quiet streets of Palmer Woods near 7 Mile and Woodward on a sunny Sunday afternoon. On the front doors, on both sides, an equally imposing silver seal read "Threat Management Specialist Deterrence Detection Defense." Wow, this is serious stuff.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of split on it. I mean, at one point, you're like, okay, your neighborhood's nice and safe. At the other point, I mean, how does it take away from your freedom? You almost feel like you're caged in, like there's a military force out there.
Well, it says, according to this article, when an alarm went off in a house, one of the security guards walked the perimeter, peering into all the windows while video recording everything that was going on so that they could show the homeowner later on. It's not about trust, they said. It's about validation. You can create a positive environment for families to exist. Yeah, but that's, Jeff, you do bring up a good question because that has to have a military-like feel to your neighborhood, I would think.
It's almost like you're imprisoned. And I guess that's not the case because you can come and go as you please, but, you know, if they don't recognize you and you're just walking your own community, they'll come up to you and almost demand you show identification. Do you prove that you live here? Okay, fine, you're good then. You can keep going.
Well, you know, in as I read this article this morning, you know, a couple things, so I'm glad that you brought that up. A couple things. Number one, you're not required to present ID, so if you're asked for it, you're not under law. There is no law that covers that, so you don't have to show your ID, number one. Number two, these are not policemen, and they don't carry, you know, they don't carry weapons. But, you know, and they're very, very clear on that, but their presence is well known. So there's an intimidation factor, and I guess if you're an outsider, that works. But, you know, Jeff, it continues to bring up that question, how do we make our streets safer in parts of the state that have been so stressed economically that they feel that the only way to balance their budget is, of course, to lay off policemen and firemen. And it's becoming an ongoing problem. Then I'm looking at CNN Money, and this headline, Jeff, hits me smack dab in the face. State local layoffs to hit record levels. And I don't have time to get into it all now, but, Jeff, what this basically says is that, you know, now that the reality, the stimulus money is gone, okay, even though revenues are up and there are more tax dollars, what states are, you know, giving out, what they're doling out to their municipalities is now at rock bottom. So now municipalities, as we're reporting on a daily basis now, have to deal with the money that they know they do have. And we know that, you know, that nobody's raising taxes. You know, there were elections a few weeks ago. Some people got their millage. Some people didn't. But the bottom line here, and all the economic forecasters are saying, you think it's bad now. Starting in July, it's going to get a whole lot worse.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. So I don't know the solution. I really don't know the solution. But is it really laying off cops and firemen? Is that really the best way to do this?
And then what? When you realize that you need to hire them back, then you train new people, or you bring this, you go and try and find the same people if they haven't found a job already?
I mean,
you're talking even more money.
This is where I will give the auto companies a lot of credit, because as we've reported on this show, especially General Motors, you know, they're going to be doing a lot of hiring. They came out right away and said the first folks we're bringing back are those that are laid off. Now, some of these guys have been laid off a while, but I don't think they're going to need a whole lot of quote-unquote retraining to get them back into the loop. You know, it might be like going back to the gym after a while. You might be a little sore for a while, Jeff, but, you know, once you're back into the saddle for a while, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike. It'll all come back to you. But you're right. What are they going to do? You know, and, you know, the bottom line here, and as much as people hate to hear me talk like this, we need to raise taxes. We just do. But we need to do it for everyone. Actually, we just had our taxes raised. The middle class did. So now we need to raise taxes on those that are supposed to be paying their, what, fair share. Yeah, that's not happening. And I'm sure Mark Brewer is going to have a little bit to say about that in the 8 o'clock hour. But the bottom line here, if you're paying attention, folks, if you're going to have less safe communities, then your city mothers and fathers have to wear that. I realize they've got less money, but we have to start looking. I mean, we seriously have to start looking at the idea that we're going to have to raise taxes if we're going to be able to maintain any kind of service to our communities. And I'll remind you, and again, it's still on the First Shift Facebook page, I'll remind you that we are paying a record low amount of taxes. And it may not feel that way, but we are. 4.8%. As opposed to under Clinton, 9.6, and under Reagan, 11.6. Keep that in mind. I mean, you know, we have to take a look at the reality, and that may mean that all of us, have to pay more taxes. All right, State Representative Harvey Santana with us the next hour in studio. I'm going to take a quick break here, go fill up my coffee and get ready, because I have a feeling I'm going to need my wits about me in the next hour. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break for the top of the hour and be right back.
Third
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. We are seeing some little bit of heavier traffic on our total traffic update through the interchange with 96 and 275. Those who are trying to go west on 14 also picking up a little bit just through that interchange. The rest of 275, just pockets of heavy traffic northbound as you're coming in toward Ann Arbor Road. And then again, as you get a little closer toward 8 Mile heading into the 696 interchange. Looks like the Ruther, we're doing okay, making your way toward M10. Remember, on M10, northwestern the Lodge, you cannot get onto the Southfield Freeway. You go all the way into the city.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today. Look for a high near 85. Tonight, thunderstorms, a low near 67. Tomorrow, a chance of storms and a high near 88. Right now, fair skies at Metro Airport and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour. Dominic Strauss-Kahn is expected to plead not guilty to sex charges in New York today. Strauss-Kahn was head of the powerful International Monetary Fund until he was accused of trying to rape a hotel maid. CNN's Allison Kosick says defense lawyers will be asking for materials from the prosecution at the arraignment.
Sources close to the case are telling us that DSK's lawyers don't have any of the discovery evidence yet. I'm talking about DNA evidence, hair and fiber evidence, those test results, all the police reports and the statements, the formal statements from the alleged victim.
State and local governments are expected to go on a record-breaking layoff binge starting next month. CNNMoney.com writer Tammy Luby explains why it could impact schools.
They can't kick people off the rolls for Medicaid, so they're really forced to hit education hard because that's really where they have more flexibility. They're trying to reduce their Medicaid costs, but there's only so much they can do. So unfortunately, it's the education sector and the schools that are suffering.
The floodgates are open north of Pierre, South Dakota. Officials are trying to divert high water from the Missouri River. About 600 people had to leave their homes in Hamburg, Iowa, where there was a levee breach. A wildfire burning in Arizona is one of the worst in the state's history. Much of northern Arizona is being threatened because of strong winds and dry weather. Diana Davis, who lives in Springerville, says it's hard to breathe.
Smoke just sits in this valley, and it sucks the air right out of you.
Over 2,000 people near the Wallow Fire had to evacuate. Two new drugs extend the lives of people with melanoma, the deadliest form of skin cancer. Both drugs cause tumors to shrink, but researchers at a cancer conference in Chicago say neither is a cure. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana and New Jersey do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
If you're traveling this summer, there's a good chance you'll be packing your briefcase instead of your suitcase and your laptop bag instead of your beach bag. A survey by TravelClick finds that airlines and hotel chains will be relying on business travelers as leisure travel continues to wallow in the slow lane. Business travel bookings for the summer are running about 8% stronger than at this time last year. Leisure travel is about the same as last year. The slowing global economy and near-record high fuel prices are challenging the airline industry this year, promising to make 2011 less profitable than 2010. But the International Air Transport Association now thinks this year's profit for the business will be less than a quarter what it was a year ago, the group cutting its airline profit forecast to just $4 billion. a drop of greater than a percent for Japan's Nikkei, European indexes near flat, S&P futures down 3 points, NASDAQ futures losing 4, Dow futures off 13. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
If you run a business, you've always got decisions on your mind.
Reducing my costs, protecting my people.
Fortunately, Aflac is an easy decision. It lets you enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your company. Aflac is insurance that pays cash benefits directly. And since it's voluntary, it costs your business nothing.
Better benefits at no cost.
Aflac! That's what I'm talking about.
Call 1-866-61-AFLAC or visit aflac.com/protect.
People come to Ruth's Chris for more than just a great steak. They come to let off some steam. Take Rob, Joe, and Shelley. When they get wrapped up in a week-long assignment at work, they head on over to Ruth's Chris for a much-needed break over some sizzling steak served to perfection. It's a chance for them to loosen up, have a few laughs, and talk about anything. Anything but work, that is. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Serving more than just sizzling steaks.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
And good morning, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on a glorious Monday morning. It's going to be a hot one today, folks. I want to remind you again to keep hydrated. We're going to have a pretty hot week, cool off a little later on. But, hey, that's what it's all about this time of year, right? God knows we had enough winter, so we'll take a little bit of summer, even a little earlier than we expected. Somebody sent me an email yesterday, you know, what happened to spring? I don't care. I'll take summer. I'm all on to summer. All right, as I promised, and we're going to get right to our guest. In studio with me is State Representative Harvey Santana, we got a lot to get to. What I want to do, and because we enjoyed him so much the first time he was on, and he's agreed to join us the first Monday of every month, and so I want to give people an opportunity to get to know Representative Santana just a little bit better. So let us welcome to the show Harvey Santana. Harvey, it's great to have you in studio with us today and looking forward to doing this.
Got up, had my second cup of coffee, woke up to coffee this morning. We're ready to go.
All right. I'm going to tell you, once we get callers, you're going to have to put those headphones on.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right, just so you can hear everything that's going on. All right, before we get into, I know that you'd recently visited an auto plant, and that really got you revved. I saw your Facebook post. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the utility tax amendment that you were, able to get through the House in a bipartisan way, I might add.
Yeah, the bill.
Recently, we're going to get to that. But before we do that, I really want to give my audience a chance to get to know you a little bit better. So tell us a little bit about your background and how it is you came to run for office.
Well, you know, I'm a born and raised Detroiter, graduated Chatsey High School in 1990, product of the Detroit public school system. And back in 1990, there weren't a lot of opportunities in Detroit waiting for high school graduates. So my patriotic sense, and I always wanted to do this, was join the military. So 2 weeks out of high school, enlisted on June 26, 1990, went into the United States Navy, spent 4 years in the military, got back out in 94. Came home, worked at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel for 2 years, working my way through school, and then transferred over to Eastern Michigan University, where I got my bachelor's and my master's, and went to work for the city as a consultant on the Census 2000 campaign. Then I went to work for Ken Cockrell Jr., who was on city council now, for about a year, and then after that went into the private sector, did some transportation planning for about 9-10 years, and ran for public office. The reason I ran for public office, it's kind of different, because I had walked away from politics, to be honest with you. I got so fed up with what I was seeing in the city, and I just didn't feel that I had a role. And so what ends up happening, I'm in this field office down in Delray working on this DRIC issue. They call it the North American Trade something now, but way back when it was the DRIC. But this,
which is the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge project.
Don't know what DRIC is.
Yeah, and so what ends up happening, I'm minding my own business one day, and this young girl comes up to me, and she says, "I know you." And I says, "Well, how do you know me?" She says, "Because you and my father grew up in the same neighborhood." So after a long conversation, I says, "Well, look, who's your father and whatnot?" And it turns out that it's a friend of mine named Brian, and he, you know, goes through the normal things that people go through when they don't do anything with their life. I mean, he ended up in a very unfortunate situation, and I asked him, where is he? And she says, "Well, he's in prison." I says, "Really?" And she says, "Yeah," and she had told me everything he had got into. And after that, I went home and I had that, you know, famous come to Jesus meet with myself, and there we went.
Well, I mean, but you certainly, Harvey, weren't on that path. Yet, you know, there was something about, you know, Brian's situation that resonated with you. And, you know, I understand that whole, you know, giving up on politics thing. I ran for Congress in 06 and... You know, I'm not going to get into my whole story, but, you know, I kind of had to unplug for a while. I had to find myself. I didn't feel like I belonged any longer. I didn't feel like I was a part of it, but, you know, at the same time, I felt still pulled toward it, and it just got a little weird for me for a while. But, you know, as to decide to run for public office, I don't think a lot of people understand that the personal sacrifice that you have to make to do that. And so here you find yourself not only running, you obviously got elected. Let's just back up a little bit here. And you know, we've been the last week or so, and maybe it's just because it's everywhere we turn, but the city of Detroit is really having its challenges. Mayor Dave Bing has had, I read yesterday, 30 members of his administration has left in the last 90 days. He, of course, is in an epic battle with city council, which is an ongoing thing, which is really what, very, very briefly, I want to focus on. Then we'll get to some of the great work that you're doing. But here we have a mayor that seemingly wants to do the right thing. And again, we find it doesn't seem to matter what era we're talking about. We have a council that's fighting the mayor. This seems to be legacy Detroit. It's just pure Detroit, and not in a good way, Harvey Santana. You know, what can we do to stop this madness and get them to work together and start putting, I mean, this is, not only do you represent part of the city of Detroit, so this affects you. What they do affects what you do.
Well, this is in regards to the mayor and the turnover in his administration. You know, I'm a military man, and my job, I look at it this way. If he's got non-hackers in his outfit, then he needs to get rid of the people that don't meet the bill and can't keep up with the operational tempo that he's trying to push forward. I mean, he's got to successfully negotiate and achieve an objective, and that's to turn the city around. And if he feels he needs to move some people around, then so be it. I'm not opposed to him doing that. But it comes to a point where I believe it gets a little shaky and people start getting nervous when you're going through that type of turnaround. But we'll see. I mean, my job is to work with him, and we all work together. So we may not agree, but, you know, we're going to look for common solutions on some issues. And as far as the city council, I mean, that's the natural tendency. That's their job, is to look at the money, to look at the policies, to pass laws. They have to focus in on those things, and if there's a natural tension between the two, then that's healthy. I just hope that it doesn't become a point where they're arguing and fighting and progress is not being made.
Well, and of course, that is the concern, is that progress is not being made. In fact, Charles Pugh's famous quote from the other day, any other mayor would be glad to have a city council that wants to cut more money, but not this one. Again, he's picking a fight, and his language got a little too salty for my liking, too. You know, if we're going to move forward, I mean, there's one thing to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But to not agree on anything is a problem.
Well, yeah, and I mean, look at it this way. And I was having this conversation with my chief aide, Chris. You know, we can sit there and we can talk about cut, cut, cut. The problem is, how low do you go? Now, let's say you want to cut all the taxes in the city of Detroit. You want to reduce the revenue. Well, then what kind of government service do you get? People oftentimes are complaining to me and emailing me and calling me about the services there I'm not receiving. Just imagine if you go on this era of cutting, 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 then what do you get? You're not going to get very much. And this is one of the discussions that we had when it came down to this utility tax issue. You know, it's $50 million for the training and recruitment of Detroit police officers, and that's what it specifically goes to. Now, if you take that utility tax out, and God forbid something bad happens, like, you know, what Hanson Clark was talking about, our congressman, they're the first responders. I mean, if you don't have the $50 million coming in for recruiting and training, then you got to get $50 million coming in from some other area. That's $50 million that could have went for an emergency.
Yeah.
So you got to balance this all this stuff out.
Yeah. Again, my guest is State Representative Harvey Santana. By the way, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, if you've got questions that way, tony@thetonyshow.org. It certainly, you know, and I was saying this, I know you guys were listening in the control room before you came on air, but I was talking that sometimes, you know, it is about doing the tough thing. I'm not going to ask you if you're ready to raise taxes, Harvey, so you don't need to worry about that. But, you know, it's fair, and we need to have the conversation about the citizens. We expect X, Y, and Z from our government. At the same time, there has to be a sacrifice. The problem we're having is we now have a Republican governor, a Republican legislature that keep on using this shared sacrifice slogan, but there's nothing shared. We've had the tax burden has been shifted to the middle class, the working poor, and our senior citizens. That's not fair.
No, you're absolutely right, Tony. But let me be very, very clear and let the listening audience understand. When he talks about shared sacrifice, that means there's an implication there that we were at the table. There's an idea there that we were working with him. I mean, he never invited us in to say, okay, look, here's the budget. Let's talk about the things you like and that you don't like. We weren't part of that discussion. They were negotiating amongst themselves. We get this, you know, budget handed to us. We don't like it. He says, so what? We're going to push it. I mean, that's what happened.
All right, we got to take a quick break here again. State Representative Harvey Santana is with us, and you're more than welcome to join us. We have a lot that we're going to talk about in this hour, so feel free to jump on. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truffiano. This is First Shift. We'll take a break here on 1310 WDTW, and we'll be right back.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Truffiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some slow going now. We're starting to see some of that in pockets. Unfortunately, not just pockets, but slow going along M53 southbound as you're trying to come all the way down in toward 59. A couple of earlier accidents that were moved off to the shoulder, but that domino effect thing going on, and it really has backed us up. On the M59 westbound, we're slow trying to come in toward Rochester Road, heading into our construction zone. Eastbound, we're seeing delays trying to get near Opdyke, again heading toward 59. Drivers on any of the eastbound roadways, that sunshine might be a bit of a problem for you. Westbound on the roof, you're heading into 75. We're seeing delays.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today, a high near 85. Tonight, a chance of thunderstorms, a low near 67. Tomorrow, possible storms and a high near 88. Right now, partly cloudy, 63 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If the road doesn't feel like a traffic-free paradise to you, then you're not driving with new TomTom HD Traffic. It's the breakthrough service that steers you clear of delays automatically. And you'll only find it on a TomTom, because anything less is just GPS.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana and New Jersey do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-764-7498. 1-800-764-7498. 1-800-764-7498.
Wow, this Advance Auto Parts store is amazing.
Told you, and service is their best part. They have everything you need to help you improve your ride.
So how do I improve my radio?
Pioneer Car Stereo with built-in HD radio technology. And now, Advance has it.
Why HD radio?
HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound, no subscription fees. Pioneer Car Stereo with HD radio is the smart way to upgrade your car's entertainment system.
I'm liking this. HD radio in my car. From Advance Auto Parts.
HD Radio. More radio, more value.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest in studio, State Representative Harvey Santana. We are going to go to the phones before we move on. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let us welcome Amir in Detroit to First Shift. Amir, a pleasure to have you on with us. You're on the air with Representative Harvey Santana.
How you doing, Mr. Santana?
Hey, Amir. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. I'm on the west side of the city of Detroit, the 14th District. And Mr. Womack is my representative, but you're also my representative because you're from Detroit, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why haven't you, none of you, filed civil rights lawsuits against the state of Michigan for violating our rights and taking our tax dollars and basically outsourcing all our revenue? They outsource all our revenue. That's why we don't have the services.
Amir, give us an example. Amir, give us an example of what you're talking about.
Oh, let's see. Oh, our schools per se.
Well, you know.
Our schools that, hold on.
Go ahead.
The outsourcing of our police, our fire, and not only that, you're giving all these business taxes. My point is that they stripped our rights by saying because Mayor Archer was the worst person ever, because his policies, along with Engler, destroyed the city. This is their work.
Well, I guess I'm a little taken back because I'm not exactly sure specifically what it is that you're referring to. But I'll say this. I understand your frustration. What I don't understand is the specifics of your question. But let me say this. You know, back what happened with Dennis Archer's administration, I'm not completely sure of. All I can tell you is what I'm doing now. And the fact of the matter is that we encounter these conversations all the time. If there's something specifically that you want to sit down and talk to me about, to point out to me, feel free to give me a call, because I'm interested. I want to know. I need more facts before I can give you a good answer.
Yeah, and Amir, I appreciate you taking the time to call. But, Harvey, this is one of those situations where I think, because Amir's called the show before, I think that he's so frustrated. It's like everything, trying to fit all that emotion into one question is next to impossible. I think what he's trying to tell us, and certainly something that you can address, we are told that, our services have to be reduced because we don't have enough money, yet corporations continue to see all kinds of benefits under Governor Snyder's administration, under Governor Snyder's proposals, under this Republican administration's tax shift. And so, yeah, when you live in the city of Detroit or any other city in the state of Michigan and you see services continue to be reduced, yet my taxes continue to go up or, seemingly go up. Yeah, it's frustrating. And so you reach out to your electeds and you say, why isn't anybody doing anything? Well, Harvey, it's not as simple as just saying, you know what, this is unfair, because if it were that simple, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, and to Amir's point, and I appreciate his frustration, why are all these businesses getting the tax breaks? That's the question that we asked. And, okay, if you're going to give taxes, tax breaks to corporations, show me the jobs that come behind it. And if you look at Lieutenant Governor Kelly's remarks when he gave an interview, so how many jobs does this reduce? Well, we hope that it's going to create jobs. He couldn't tell you one. He couldn't tell you 1,000. He said, we expect to be competitive with our surrounding neighboring states. Come on, man. Now they want to fight us on a bridge. Well, we know we can produce 10,000 jobs. We know we can have a ripple wave effect on our economy with 40,000 jobs. He wants to fight us on that. The Republicans are trapped in their own logic, and they're stuck, and they don't know how to get from under it.
Well, what do you, Harvey, what do you take of Governor Snyder over at the Mackinac Policy Conference repeatedly, 3 or 4 times, talking about, we need to start dialoguing differently about the state of Michigan. We need to change our mindset about the state of Michigan. We need to be more positive about the state of Michigan. I mean, those are awfully nice things to say, but in reality, should we be talking nicer? Should we be thinking more positively? I mean, has anything changed?
Governor Snyder, with all due respect, reminds me of that guy that you pay, $50, $100 to go and see his show about positive, motivational speaking. He should get on a circuit because that's what he does. That's all that he does. But at the end of it, when you look at the policies, there's no there.
Well, again, you're not going to get an argument out of me. I mean, this is what I do. I sit around all day and read this wonkish policy stuff and just try to connect the dots, and the dots just don't connect. I want to save your visit to the auto plant till after the break.
That's
but
fine.
I do want to go back to the utility tax amendment, and I want you to talk a little bit more about that. Because, you talked about that $50 million, and it's there for police and firefighters, and that was important. But I want to talk about the bipartisan aspect of that.
Right.
Because we don't see a lot of bipartisanship right now. And, in fact, if we look at most of the votes that have taken place since January 1, we'll see that most of them, 98% of them, have been very partisan. So should I be surprised that you didn't get a lot of pushback on this?
Yes and no. This was a bill that, prior to me introducing it, was something that the governor and the mayor, Mayor Bing, had a conversation about. And there was an understanding at the top level that this is something that the city of Detroit needed, and we needed to push this thing through. So when I was asked to sponsor the bill, I told him, okay, I will. But you got to understand, there's a whole lot of if in this bill and what's behind it. And let me tell you what those ifs are. And the biggest concerns that I had and I raised with all of my colleagues was, okay, so if we push this bill and we make this thing happen, what if the city goes into an emergency manager situation? Are we going to be the guys that weren't, you know, visionary enough to see that an EM was going to come into place, and so we just gave the city $50 million of which we can't control? That was one consideration. The other consideration was, are we going to be the guys that get blamed because we don't push this bill and then we fall into an emergency manager situation? Are we going to be the ones that get blamed for it?
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's right. And so we had to look at this, and there was some spirited discussion amongst the caucus about what this bill is and what it doesn't do. And so I looked at it and says, okay, look, I got to think like the mayor. I got to think like the governor. I got to think like the county executive, and I got to think like a cop. If something bad happens, where are we going to get the money to take care of the situation that happens, like a terrorist attack, as an example? And let me be clear, this is not a new tax. This is something that was already in place. And what we're doing is, because of a population decrease in the city of Detroit, we had to fix the legislation so that we can continue levying that tax.
Yeah, and that was the key factor there, because of the census and the city of Detroit dropping below a certain number in the census, that they were going to lose that funding, and that would have been detrimental. I mean, it would have been devastating to the city.
Yeah, and the Republicans worked with us. They gave us the votes that we needed to make sure that this was going to go through. And I got up there, I said what this thing was about. We got the vote out and moved it on.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. Here we come back. State Representative Harvey Santana went to work, put on a hard hat, and went to the factory. We're going to find out what he found out and maybe a new appreciation for what happens on that factory floor. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. I want to thank you all for being with us this morning. We'll take a break. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll do it. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, we are seeing the delays. 75 southbound, as you're trying to come around that Rochester curve, heading down toward 14, you start to see the delays as you make your way toward the Ruther. And on 696 westbound, coming in from Mound toward DeQuinder, we're starting to see it get pretty heavy through there. It's been pretty slow on 53, just trying to get down to 59. We've had a couple of accidents off to the shoulders, but that has really backed things up for those trying to get on to 59.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today, a high near 85. Tonight, a chance of thunderstorms, a low near 67. Tomorrow, possible storms and a high near 88. Right now, partly cloudy, 63 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Organizers of a labor rally in Erie, Pennsylvania on Saturday intended to show solidarity between unions currently in negotiations with General Electric. They expected more than 1,000 workers to show up, but when more than 3,000 filled the Hammermill Center at Gannon University, the organizers said they were surprised. 10 unions have been in negotiations with GE since May 23rd. The current contract offered by GE would end the defined pension plan for new hires and implement a health care plan that doubles the cost for workers. Outside of the contract, another issue that was highlighted at Saturday's rally was GE's profit-making while not paying taxes. According to a recent report in New York Times, GE saw $14.2 billion in worldwide profits in 2010, with $5.1 billion thanks to U.S. operations. GE reported that it only paid 7.4% in taxes on those U.S. profits. What GE pays in taxes is barely a third of the average of other major corporations. Further upsetting workers is that GE has reduced U.S. employment by 22,000 jobs since 2007, even while President Barack Obama has tapped GE chief executive Jeffrey Immelt as U.S. job czar. Meanwhile, a couple states away in Wisconsin, Walkerville returned to the Capitol. Walkerville is a tent city of sorts that originally popped up during the first 30 days of protests at the Wisconsin Capitol. This week, Walkerville returned, surrounding the Capitol, to protest the governor's deep budget cuts. Doug Cunningham spoke with some of the first residents of this new Walkerville.
Betsy Kippers, vice president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, was one of the first people setting up tents in Walkerville.
Since we are no longer able to voice our protests inside the Capitol building, we decided to set out a tent city outside the building to make sure people are hearing our voices against Governor Walker's budget, which is being dealt with this week. So we are going to be out here until the budget is done, and we are going to have our voices heard about the damage that Governor Walker is doing to the citizens of this state with his budget.
Beth McClure was erecting a tent with her husband and two small children.
Close to $800 million of education cuts are a real concern for us. Medicaid cuts, the national level, the conversation about Medicare. I just hope that this brings more attention to the issues of income inequality and the fact that we as a country have decided to give benefits to wealthy corporations and wealthy individuals while middle class and working class people are paying for the Great Recession.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, my guest again, State Representative Harvey Santana. If you'd like to join us, you have a question or comment, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address. As I said before the break, State Representative Santana went to Detroit Diesel, spent some time there back in May. And, you know, Harvey, tell us a little bit about that visit. Why'd you go to begin with? I mean, what was the whole point of going?
Well, Tony, the fact is, you know, elected people, politicians like to go to these places during a campaign year to be seen and get media hits. But I wanted to go to learn. And I've never been in an auto factory plant. I mean, my father worked at Chrysler for many, many years. And retired from there, and I never knew what my father had to go through to put food on the table. So I decided, I drive by this place every day on my way to work. Let's go in there. Let's go see, and let's go talk to those people in there and see what happens. And it's just an amazing experience when you go in there and you talk to the people who are working on the line, and you walk around that factory, and you see what goes into building something. Now I understand what manufacturing in this country is all about.
All right, and so you told me there are 4 hours. So
yeah,
what did you do for 4 hours?
Talked to people and listened and seen how what it is. And for me, I'm an experienced person, so I got to see what people are doing. And sitting there watching people on the line as they work and how attentive they are to making sure that they can meet that 2-minute window of putting something together, making sure that the next guy has it so that they can put this part on that part, and it's how the whole line works. There is no breaks. There is no slacking off. There is no let's go outside and go drink a beer and then come back inside. You've got to be on that line. So one of the things I wanted to do was prove this theory wrong that people on the auto line assembly plants are lazy. According to who? Because I didn't see it, and I don't see how you can get away with it.
Well, so you've got, I'm kind of curious. The men and women that work at Detroit Diesel, were they appreciative of you being there? Were they forthcoming? Were they honest? Did you notice, like, at the beginning, maybe a little reserved, but as you were there a little while, they opened up a little bit more?
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, take off the label politician and state representative of all that, and you talk to people like a human being. They're going to sit there, man, this is tough work. This is what I got to go through every day. And so I sat there and asked one guy who was putting together a part. I says, man, look,
you're here. What do you think about while you're here? And he says, well, I just think about putting this piece. No, I says, you're thinking about how you're going to pay your mortgage. He goes, oh, yeah. I mean, you get trapped in your own thoughts. You know, how much money you got to bring in. Can you get some overtime? The bills that got to get paid. There's a lot of mounted pressure that goes with these jobs that people don't see. And when you turn on the radio and you hear these bobbleheads talking about, you know, how unions are destroying this country, you know what? Move to another country. Don't even stay in my country. We need organized labor in this country.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. Obviously, technology has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how many men and women work in this plant now, but I'm sure that there was a time where there were a whole lot more.
According to the figures that were given to me, there's 2,400 people that work at Detroit Diesel, which is a rapid departure from the 12,000 people that used to work there several years ago. Now, think about this. Part of the reason is because the advancements in technology in the automotive industry have put them in a position where now they can be more competitive with less, you know, workers. But by the same token, the only reason they have that technology is because the workers voluntarily gave up pay raises for 10 years at that plant so that the company can retool and reinvest in itself so that they can be competitive in the workforce.
Really? They gave up a raise for 10 years?
That's what they were telling me. And I just sat there and I looked at them. I said, wow. Okay, so let me get this right. Organized labor, the people that corporate America views as evil, gave up hourly wages and conceded so that you can reinvest in this business, reinvest in your company, so that you can be competitive. But yet, these guys are the ones that you want to attack.
Well, you know, not that you weren't pro-union before you walked into that plant. Again, your dad was a factory worker, worked on a line, and obviously, you know, provided your family with a living and took care of you. Now, after that experience, besides having a deeper appreciation for what unions do, what do you think that, you know, we've had people call this show from time to time, and I know you listen to the show, Harvey, from time to time. I know Chris certainly does, and they'll knock unions. And, you know, you're right. It's not just the lazy thing. It's that they're overpaid. They don't appreciate what they've got, so on and so forth. After having that experience, besides getting mad, I can see you're just about ready to jump out of your seat. What do you have to say to those people that think that that's what it is?
You know, I would say come with me to the plant. Come with me and spend the 4 hours that I spent there in that hot plant. Come with me and walk on that hard cement floor. Come with me and sit there and watch these guys moving products from one end to the other, sitting there doing a quality job, being, you know, being looked over by supervisors, making sure that they're doing the right job. And at the same time, when you want to talk about right to work, let's talk about right to work while we're sitting there watching these guys work. Because I'll be honest with you, what these proponents of right to work are saying is you get the right to work for less. And you get the right to work for no rights on that job.
Well, I mean, you were talking during the break, we were talking about OSHA, and you know, and by the way, there's some crazy bill in the Senate that nobody will talk about where they want to get rid of MyOSHA. They want to get rid of it because they said it's redundant with the federal law. We know that's not true. Harvey's getting really fouled up now.
I get frustrated, Tony. I get really, really frustrated because what these guys do is they get stuck on ideology and they get stuck on what corporate America is telling these guys. We need to get rid of this and we need to get rid of that. And the people that are pushing this legislation have never walked in a plant. They have never sat there and worked on the line. They have never come back and knocked on doors of men and women who are middle class people to talk to them about what it's like every single day working in these plants. And it frustrates me, man, because you know, you sit there and you talk to human beings about what it is that they got to go through in life to earn a living, and these people are being so disrespectful by pushing this stupid legislation that doesn't have any place or any merit. Get out of here.
All right. Well, I got a call for you again if you want to join us. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. My buddy Tim in Brownstown. Tim, what's on your mind? Welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Representative Harvey Santana.
Good morning, Mr. Santana.
How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good, sir. And good morning to you, Tony. I just wanted to mention the unions, I believe, and I've told Tony I'm not against the unions, but the image is pretty bad with the unions. I spend 10-11 hours a day around these people, and I'm not saying they're all lazy, but there are some lazy people. What I mean, unions, they have a job to do, just one job, and that's all they do. They'll never go out of the way to fix a problem because it's not their job. Another thing that I don't like about the unions is you could have employee A who works real hard, a union guy, and then you have employee B who doesn't do anything, and they make the same amount of money.
Tim, are you a union? Tim, slow down. Are you a union man? Are you on the union, Tim?
I used to be, but I am not anymore.
Okay, Tim, first of all, these people are my brothers and sisters, and these people are the people that I identify with. And when I went and walked around at Detroit Diesel, I didn't see anybody saying, that's not my job. You know, I saw people who were dedicated to making sure that they finish a quality product and put it out on the marketplace so that the company can be profitable. And, you know, I take exception to those comments because the fact of the matter is, I didn't see any lazy people. I didn't see anybody hanging out by the dumpster smoking marijuana. I saw people busting their tail.
Didn't you just tell us they gave up a raise for 10 years?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they gave up a raise for 10 years.
Yeah, Tim, why don't you explain to me, Tim, what happens in the mindset of somebody that decides for 10 straight contracts to give up a raise? How is that lazy?
Well, I don't know.
Come on, Tim, give me an answer. How is that lazy, Tim?
Well, how much are they making per year?
What does it matter? They for 10 straight years, Tim. You know what, Tim? I've had enough for today. You're going to have to call back tomorrow. I've had enough. See, this is the classic, and Harvey, this is what I deal with on a daily basis. This is just classic, and God bless Tim. He's got a right to his First Amendment. I'm going to give that to him. This is the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. He works with... Did you notice he said those people?
Yeah.
That's almost racist.
Well, again, it's class warfare. I don't know how much money Tim makes a year. Or, you know, what's funny? What's funny about conservative thinking is that if somehow, some way, they make $250,000 a year between them and their wife, they think that they can identify with the fat cats on Wall Street. You're closer to being on welfare than you are being accepted
Absolutely.
Into their country club. And so, you know, for Tim, I don't know where he gets his ideology from, but come walk with me. Come with me to some of these plants and let's tour. Let's see what's there.
Well, you know, I have a feeling, and I've noticed this over the years. I've been doing this, as I told you during the break, 17 years. Oftentimes, people like Tim, people that think like Tim, and you're right, they are closer to that welfare line than they are the country club buffet line. But what I've found is that there's a little jealousy involved. They're jealous of that union brother and sister because, you know, because they work hard and because they're properly compensated and because they've got their protection that Tim doesn't have, there's a little jealousy there. We got to take a quick break. Earl, stay on the line. We're going to come to you as soon as we come back from this break. My guest again, State Representative Harvey Santana. I know you're digging him. I know I am, too. If you want to email us, tony@thetonyshow.org. He will be with us, by the way, the first Monday of every month, and you can expect this and a whole lot more. Let's take a quick break, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Really blind? Is justice worth dying for? Worth fighting for? Justice is coming to you. Two men, one woman. The human rights perspective. Fighting for justice. Every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Right here on 1310 a.m. WDTW.
If you're in business and still don't have a website, you're missing out on thousands of potential customers that can help your business grow. Let the professionals at DWP Music Services connect your business to the World Wide Web. They can design anything from a simple one-page site to a full-blown e-commerce marketplace. It's time to take your business into the 21st century. Call DWP Music Services for a free consultation. 248-545-6612. That's 248-545-6612.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise?
Yep. Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work. With First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. We have punched in 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana, my guest. We are going to get to the phones. Please feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. I want to welcome Earl in Ypsilanti to the show. Earl, thanks for your patience. You're on the line with Harvey Santana.
Hey, Harvey. Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing good on this beautiful Monday morning. Working my way into the office, but That Tim guy, he really, he sounds like a Fox News parrot. You know, there's a term in programming called GEICO. It stands for garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that Tim's a victim of that. In a plant today, we have modern operating agreements that pretty much say that we're working on continuously improving our jobs. We're eliminating waste. We're eliminating rework and scrap. We're trying to get the best quality product through the first time. And if people are lazy in a modern operating environment, they get disciplined, they get written up. They're lazy people throughout society. And I would just, you know, based on the numbers of organized labor to unorganized labor, I would submit to you that there are more lazy people in the non-union sector. And a lot of it has to do with their relationship with their boss.
Well, Earl, and, I will say this. First of all, do you work at a plant?
I have over the years, and I have never seen anyone. I've seen people work their rear ends and elbows, and if they don't pull their weight, they're disciplined.
Well, Earl, I agree with you, and I thank you for that service that you gave us in terms of manufacturing. And I'll say this, and I stand corrected. It wasn't 10 years that they go without getting a pay raise over there. It's 13. So don't talk to me about sacrificing who's not doing what. As far as lazy people are concerned, I think you can find a whole lot of them over on Wall Street and other parts of the financial world. They were lazy when they were looking at these numbers and what this mortgage meltdown was going to do. And I would dare say greedy. and I would dare say disingenuous about what they were doing. They knew what they were doing, and they melted this country down. So you want to talk about lazy people, I think we can look in another direction.
Well, I think you're right. Listen, I not that I want to get off the topic, and by the way, Tim did call back while we were on air and said that we totally misunderstood him because, God forbid, he wasn't speaking English. Tim, you got to think before you talk, my friend. Harvey, let just to switch topics because we are just about out of time in this hour, and man, did that go by fast. You wanted to talk a little bit about item pricing and that struggle. My good friends at the UFCW and my president, Roger Robinson, who has worked so hard to try to get this, unfortunately, we lost this battle, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't worth the effort.
Well, this was the first real major initiative that Governor Schneider wanted to push through the House and the Senate. Basically, what item pricing is that little sticker on all your products in the state. So if you go buy a bottle of water, as an example, it's that little sticker that says 99 cents. Well, Governor Schneider in the State of the State, if you remember, said that by getting rid of that little sticker, we would save $2.2 billion. I figured, well, how do you do that? I mean, that's our deficit. I mean, that's a lot of money, $2.2 billion for a little sticker. Well, what they did is they went back and took a conservative report from a think tank from 10 years ago. And
from 10 years ago.
And what this report did is effectively compare three states, all on the East Coast, New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. They compared a state that had it versus two states that didn't, and they factored a difference of 6 to 8%. Well, they took that margin of 6 to 8% of difference, and they applied it to what we spend in the state of Michigan, which is, what, 24 billion dollars, and they subtracted it. And that's how you get $2.2 billion. I says, okay, that's simple math. So if that works, then Ohio doesn't have item pricing. Let's go to Ohio and let's go shopping. So we went to two major retailers in both Michigan and in Ohio. So we visited four stores altogether. We took the same list that they used in that report 10 years ago, and we went item by item, and we took the everyday price of those items, and we compared it. When we ran down the numbers, you know what we found out? It's cheaper to buy groceries in Michigan that has that item pricing than it is in Ohio. So when I went back and I told them on the House floor, you guys are dead wrong, and I don't mind passing a law, but what I do mind is passing a law that's based on a lot of baloney, and this is a lot of baloney. Your logic is wrong. It's fatally flawed. Don't lie to me. Look at these numbers, and if I'm wrong, then prove me wrong, and then I'll be the first one to stand up and say, okay, we need to change this. But if I'm right, we need to go back to the drawing board. But this was Republican garbage, you know, to support their friends who supported them during last election.
And there's no question that's true. In fact, the chairman of Meijer, who is one of Rick Snyder's best buddies, is the one that wanted this item pricing gone. Guess what? He got what he wanted. Let me, you know, you're not invited. You're not invited to the table. I'm not talking just you, Harvey Santana. The Democrats are not invited to the table right now. As a legislator, I know I asked you this the first time I had you on the show. How frustrated is it for you to get up and go to work knowing that you're not invited to the table?
Well, you know, I get frustrated, but, you know, I like to operate from the perspective of, you know, the underdog. Because you put me in a corner and you tell me, Harvey, this is how it's going to be. You know I'm going to fight my way out of that corner. And, you know, they want to fight, hey, up top, down low, on the street, anywhere we go. That's all I want to do is fight these guys because they're wrong. Their logic is fatally flawed on so many levels. So if you know, you want to pass legislation or you think you want to pass legislation and make it go by us without me looking at it, you're wrong because I read everything. I do the homework.
All right. Because we are just about out of time, I want to give out your email address. It's Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y, Santana, Harvey Santana at house.mi.gov, Harvey Santana. House.mi.gov. And Chris, is your phone number on here somewhere? Right here. The toll-free number to Harvey's office. And you know what? Harvey's going to be one of these guys that it doesn't matter if he represents you, he's going to take your call. 855. This is a toll-free number. 855-DIST. That's district. DIST 010. 855-DIST 010. And again, the email address, Harvey Santana at house.mi.gov. Go check out what he's doing.
And Tony, I just want to say for the listening audience, I respond to my own email. I don't let my staff respond. I want to establish that relationship with you, whether you live in my district or not. If you have a question, you can't get, you know, satisfactory answer. I'm as truthful as I can be. If I can solve the problem, I can. If I can't, then I give you the resources where to go. But I really want you to know that I'm the one that responds. And 9 times out of 10, if you leave me your phone number, I'm going to call you back.
All right. Very quickly, we got just a couple minutes. You've got a unique relationship with your chief of staff. I just want you to just briefly tell my audience how the two of you know each other. And we've only got 60 seconds, so.
Well, Chris was my high school government teacher at Chaffee High School. He stopped me from dropping out of high school, and we maintained a good relationship over the last, you know, 20 years. And he helped me on the campaign, and I told him, look, I need your brains. I can't do this by myself. I need you to come on board with me.
Well, that's great. It's a great story. We'll look forward to seeing you in July.
Who we are.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, State Representative Harvey Santana. We're going to take a break here. Mark Brewer from the Michigan Democratic Party on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Stay punched in. We're not done yet.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. We are seeing the delays as you're coming in 96 eastbound, trying to get in toward Wixom and Novi. A little bit busier there. Getting onto 275, not too bad, actually. That interchange is moving along all right, although northbound 275, we've got the slowdowns as you come north of Michigan Avenue, heading in toward Ann Arbor Trail. Coming down M10 The Lodge, we've got some pockets of slow traffic heading in toward that Wyoming curve, making your way down toward the Davison, and, of course, 696 and I-75, that interchange busy in all directions.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today, a high near 85. Tonight, a chance of thunderstorms, a low near 67. Tomorrow, possible storms and a high near 88. Right now, partly cloudy, 63 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, American soldiers were targeted in an attack in central Iraq today. CNN's Paul Chambers says it was the single largest loss of life for U.S. troops in Iraq since 2009.
Iraqi security officials say a mortar attack on a U.S. base in Iraq killed 5 U.S. service members. That's more information than the U.S. military in Iraq is giving at the present time. The deaths follow warnings by the military of increased attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq.
U.S. troops are supposed to be out of Iraq by the end of the year. Dominic Strauss-Kahn, who once led the powerful International Monetary Fund, will be in court in New York today. CNN's Deb Feyerick says Strauss-Kahn is accused of sexually assaulting a hotel maid last month.
Even since this happened back in the middle of May, May 15th, that in fact Dominic Strauss-Kahn would be pleading not guilty. His lawyer saying that evidence will suggest that in fact this was not a forced act that happened in the hotel room, but something bordering more along the lines of a consensual incident.
Firemen in Arizona are having a tough time with one of the worst wildfires in the state's history. The Wallow Fire in eastern Arizona has grown to more than 190,000 acres and is completely uncontained. It's forced more than 2,000 people to leave their homes. Two drugs might give people with the deadliest form of skin cancer more time to live. Dr. Lynn Schuchter with the Melanoma Center at the University of Pennsylvania says it's a breakthrough.
50% of the patients had a substantial shrinkage of their melanoma compared to 5% of patients who received a chemotherapy.
However, researchers say neither drug is a cure. The Miami Heat now lead the NBA Finals 2-1 after an 88-86 win over the Mavs in Dallas Sunday. Game 2 is tomorrow night. Game 4 is tomorrow night. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Today I save $15 with my Plus Ups at Rite Aid.
I save $24 with my Plus Ups.
As a Rite Aid Wellness Plus member, you could enjoy average savings of over $100 in Plus Up rewards every week. Just buy select products today and get rewards for even more savings tomorrow. It's like savings on top of your savings with Plus Ups.
I saved $63 this month.
That's the value of wellness. Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com. Wellness Plus card requires certain limitations apply. See your local Rite Aid for details.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you, a fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures, and find a car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Natural gas is entering its golden age. Demand for the cleanest burning of fossil fuels is expected to double by 2035 and could account for a quarter of all the globe's energy production by then. All this today, according to the International Energy Agency, which warns against too much reliance on natural gas at the expense of developing more planet-friendly energy forms. Someday, perhaps, airplanes will run on some type of energy other than petroleum, but for now, the industry is tied to oil. And that's a terrible thing this year. The international agency that tracks the airline business is warning profits will fall this year to less than a quarter what they were last year, only about $4 billion, because of the cost of jet fuel, plus the slowing global economy, along with the continuing economic effect of the March earthquake in Japan. In early trades, oil futures are down, losing more than a dollar to below $99 a barrel. Right now, S&P futures are losing 3 points, NASDAQ futures down 6 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
If you run a business, you've always got decisions on your mind.
Reducing my costs, protecting my people.
Fortunately, Aflac is an easy decision. It lets you enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your company. Aflac is insurance that pays cash benefits directly. And since it's voluntary, it costs your business nothing.
Better benefits at no cost.
Aflac! That's what I'm talking about.
Call 1-866-61-AFLAC or visit aflac.com/protect.
Today I save $15 with my Plus Ups at Rite Aid.
I save $24 with my Plus Ups.
As a Rite Aid Wellness Plus member, you could enjoy average savings of over $100 in Plus Up rewards every week. Just buy select products today and get rewards for even more savings tomorrow. It's like savings on top of your savings with Plus Ups.
I saved $63 this month.
That's the value of wellness. Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com. Wellness Plus card requires certain limitations apply. See your local Rite Aid for details.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures, and find a car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with the President of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Trupiano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in, It requires First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday morning, we certainly do want to thank State Representative Harvey Santana for a very fast hour and a very passionate hour of talk radio. Certainly one of the guys I am very happy is representing Southeast Michigan in the State House. And again, if you want the information on how to contact Representative Santana, it's on the First Shift Facebook page. Don't forget our poll question of the day. Is it time that we repeal the helmet laws in the state of Michigan for motorcycle riders? It's all there. Go check it out. All right. Joining me now, as he does every week at this time, is the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, freshly back from the Mackinac Policy Conference, and I'm sure he's glad to be back in Lansing. Mr. Chairman, a pleasure to have you back on today, and I hope you survived the conference okay.
I did, Tony. Good morning. It's great to be with you. You know, it was basically a big corporate CEO celebration of their massive tax cut win of a couple weeks ago, but I was there as a Democratic Truth Squad saying, look, this is not the way to reinvent Michigan, and lots of folks are going to be paying for that tax cut with larger class sizes and higher taxes and reduced public services throughout this state.
Yeah, and in fact, Mark Brewer, there are very few reasons to celebrate anything that came out of the conference this weekend. And I know that as the media was searching you out throughout the weekend, especially towards the end of the conference, you know, you were speaking truth to power. And, some of the conservative media especially just wanted to paint you as just being a bit of a sourpuss. And truth, you're right, it was about truth. And frankly, the truth in this instance is hurting everybody but the wealthy fat cats and the CEO.
That's actually right. I mean, I told the press, you know, Snyder got his obligatory standing ovation from the CEOs, and that's the only place in the state where he got a standing ovation. I spent the rest of the weekend, Tony, on my way up there. For example, I talked about 400 seniors in Sheboygan County, and I can tell you, to a person, they are very angry about the priorities, not only of this governor, but what we see coming out of Washington in terms of efforts to get rid of Medicare. So it really was a small minority, a real fantasy land on the island last week. The reality is that the governor's approval ratings are in the low 30s, and that's well-deserved, given that his policies have left a lot of folks behind, and we're not sharing the sacrifice like he promised we would during the campaign.
Yeah, well, certainly that's not happening. In fact, you know, speaking of games, I understand there's a little Michigan Monopoly going on there.
That's right. We took advantage of the fact that last week the Michigan Lottery unveiled a new Monopoly game to let people know that, in fact, Rick Snyder and the Republicans have been playing Michigan Monopoly since he was sworn in. You know, they've got all the chance cards, all the opportunity cards, and they're raking in the big bucks, and the rest of us are left on the poor places on the Monopoly board. So it's just a little gimmick to draw attention, again, to the governor's disastrous policies that are going to continue to hurt Michigan for years to come.
Well, you know, speaking of another governor who knows something about hurting the middle class, I'm speaking about Mitt Romney. He announces that he's going to run for the presidency, and, of course, he has his own record he needs to be afraid of.
Oh, very afraid, Tony. I mean, it's so ironic, it's so hypocritical that he would criticize Barack Obama's record on the economy. While Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts, Massachusetts had the 47th worst rate of job creation in the country out of 50 states, Tony. 47 out of 50. So that's hardly a position to be in to criticize Barack Obama. We've had hundreds of thousands of jobs created in just the last several months here under Barack Obama. We got a long way to go. The president acknowledges that. But he has certainly turned the economy around, and we would not want our economy to look like Massachusetts under Mitt Romney.
You know, and in fact, it's interesting, Mark, as we take a look at the now announced list of Republican candidates that want to go up against our President Barack Obama. You know, another one will announce today, Rick Santorum. And this just seems to me, Mark, a series of third-tier political, former political operatives not knowing what to do with their time in retired life.
Well, I think that's right. You've got real panderers Biden got rid of me, like I said last week. But he was governor of Massachusetts. He was pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-gun control, pro-health care. He has now switched his position. He's flip-flopped on all those issues as part of pandering to the far right of the Republican Party. And you see the same thing with Rick Santorum. He's become a real panderer to the far right of that party. Michelle Bachmann, Bill Gingrich, the rest of them. They're playing to that Tea Party fringe.
Well, it is. I find it interesting. You know, we can actually equate that a little bit, Mark Brewer, to the state level, where our Senator Debbie Stabenow, who was with us on the show on Friday, you know, clearly why she can't. It's clear why she can't find an opponent, as she exercised on this program on Friday. She's right there with all the issues. She understands the plight of working men and women. She's in the corner of our senior citizens. She is, of course, there is no one that is more fervent and accessible. And so, yeah, she's not going to find a legitimate opponent because at this point they know they can't beat her, Mark.
Well, they haven't been able to find a legitimate opponent yet. I know Debbie Stabenow well. She's not going to take anything for granted. And she continues to campaign very hard. She was on the campaign trail all weekend as well. I ran into her in a couple of places in northern Michigan. But you're right, Tony. I mean, look, she led the fight to ban oil drilling in the Great Lakes. She's been a real champion of our auto industry, pushing the Cash for Clunkers program, and now credits to folks who buy alternative energy vehicles. She's chair of the Agriculture Committee. And it's a little known secret here in Michigan that agriculture is our second largest industry. Generates billions of dollars in economic activity. Responsible for hundreds of thousands of jobs. She's been a real champion of Michigan agriculture. So she's going to keep doing her job, and we'll see who the Republicans manage to come up with as an opponent next year.
Well, you know, and again, I've had the pleasure, Mark Brewer, of knowing Senator Stabenow for the better part of the last 10 years, and she just keeps getting better with every year. And certainly if people need evidence of that, by making her the chairwoman of one of the most important Senate committees, that speaks volumes about how her colleagues view her as well, Mark.
Oh, yes. You know, she's been in the leadership in the Senate ever since she got there. And this chairmanship of the committee is further recognition of that. She's very energetic, very articulate, a great spokesperson for us here in Michigan.
You know, Mark, quickly, before we have to get to the break, let's just take you back a couple days to Mackinac once again. And, you know, of course, I was reading with great interest because you and I both know that this is really just an exercise, as it is almost every year, in very wealthy people patting each other on the back and spending disgusting amounts of money to congratulate each other. And it gets a little sickening to me. At a time, Mark, where we have serious issues facing the state of Michigan, at a time where we need real leadership, at a time where we see the leadership that's there turning their back on the majority of us, Mark. I mean, the majority of us are suffering under this new Republican budget. When do you think we might start seeing some serious legislating going on in Lansing?
Well, interesting to see, Tony, because now they're talking about taking 2 months off, the entire months of July and August. So, you know, we're already partway through June. So we're going to see a few days of them in session this month and then 2 more months off. You know, we have yet to see a single piece of legislation that actually creates jobs in this state. I mean, they eliminated jobs and they got rid of item pricing. They eliminated jobs and they got rid of the film incentives. It would be good to see the governor and the legislature pay attention to the number one issue that people have got, which is creating jobs. Well, you're right. What they spent last week doing was partying on Mackinac Island, fancy food and fancy expensive hotel rooms, et cetera, et cetera, while the rest of us pay the price for that.
Well, it's just wrong. All right, we're gonna have to get to a break here in just a minute. I'm gonna remind people, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. My guest again, Mark Brewer. He's the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Folks, you do need to go to the MDP website, which is MichiganDems.com, MichiganDems.com. There are a lot of resources there. And what I'm trying to do as you all know, is empower you to certain truths and realities, and you can get these truths and realities there. So go to MichiganDems.com and check it all out. There are videos, there are press releases, every resource you could possibly need are at your fingertips so that you can start combating this a little bit. When we come back, Mark Brewer and I are going to discuss his counterpart in the Republican Party, who has been awfully quiet publicly. Maybe Mark can get him to, I don't know, come out a little bit. Maybe join the party, if you will. Well, maybe not the Democratic Party, but how about the conversation? Maybe we'll settle for that. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW, and this is Michigan's only progressive talk show. Stay where you're at. We're not done with you, not by a long shot. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Wherever there's a fight so hungry people can eat, I'll be there.
1310 AM, WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes all kinds of delays. 96 East, an accident at Milford off to the shoulder, but we're backed up to Kent Lake. We've got pockets of heavy traffic into 275, 275 South down to 9614, busy there. Northbound, we're slow from Michigan Avenue, almost all the way up to 696 with pockets of slow traffic. 75 South coming in from about Rochester Road all the way down toward about 8 Mile. On the Ruther West Mound all the way out to Southfield, slow going.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today, our high near 85. Tonight, though, thunderstorms. A low near 67. Tomorrow, a slight chance of thunderstorms and a high near 88. Right now, partly cloudy at Metro Airport and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Quiznos Flavor Theater presents Captain Napkin.
This is our calling, fellow napkins, to wipe smoky Quiznos barbecue sauce from proud chins, protect khaki laps from pieces of slow-roasted pork, and tidy up the scraps of toasty genius. Who's with me?
Yeah! Try our all-new large Quiznos Southern Barbecue Pulled Pork Sub. This or any large toasty favorite sub, now just $5. Quiznos. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Toasty. For a limited time, only at participating locations.
You know her as Three's Company star and the Thighmaster guru, but Suzanne Summers is also author of 20 bestsellers, including her revolutionary new book, Sexy Forever, How to Lose Fat After 40. Now she's done it again by exposing the missing ingredient to help women over 40 lose weight.
Are you over 40 and just can't lose weight? Well, it's more than diet and exercise. I've spent 2 decades working with cutting-edge doctors, and I have found the missing piece of the puzzle to losing fat after 40. This new information will astonish you, and I want to share these discoveries, so get started now with a free weight loss plan only available at Suzanne.com. On my personalized program, you'll lose the weight, stop fat in its tracks, and rejuvenate your whole metabolism. So if you're over 40 and overweight, you need more than a diet. This is the proven answer you've been looking for.
To get Suzanne Summers' free weight loss plan, log on now to Suzanne.com. That's Suzanne.com. Suzanne.com.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest again, Chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. Again, just back from the Mackinac Policy Conference. You know, many of you are probably not aware of Mark's counterpart in the Republican Party, Bobby Shostak. You know, Mark, we don't hear much from him, and I'm not quite sure why that is. Perhaps he's busy counting piles of cash. I really don't know. But I'm sure he was up at the policy conference. In fact, I didn't see him quoted in one article. I saw you in about 15. What's up with that?
Well, Bobby Shostak has dodged and avoided me. We've offered repeated debates, joint forums. That's over on Tony, but he's really been ducking. I mean, I guess if you had to defend Rick Snyder's record, you would duck too. he was up there, and I did try to pin him down and say, look, why don't we have some joint appearances, have some debates. We owe that to the voters of Michigan. And he did agree to do that. So I'm going to be asking all our friends in the media, like you and others, to take him up on that agreement and see if he keeps his word this time.
Well, you know, Mark, we're going to do that. We're going to give his office a call, and we're going to offer up the show for, you know, a joint appearance. We'll rearrange our hour a little bit so we can do something a little more uninterrupted, and see what, you know, the two of you have to say. I think that's only fair. I mean, that's part of what democracy is all about, Mark Brewer.
No, that's right. I'd be happy to debate him anytime, any place. I got into an impromptu debate with Doug Rothwell of the Business Leaders Group and a couple of other business leaders up there, and they were pretty uncomfortable, frankly, defending this $2 billion tax break for businesses who have no obligation at all, Tony, to create jobs, and frankly, under this trickle-down theory, there won't be any jobs created. So the rest of us are going to pay for this without any tangible product in terms of jobs coming out of it.
Well, you know, Mark, and that certainly is something that we need to be concerned about. I'm sure you heard as you were waiting to come on, we had State Representative Harvey Santana on in the last hour. He was in studio with us today. You know, and he talked a great deal about waiting for that legislation as well. And as, you know, he shared with my audience, Mark Brewer, they're not being invited to the table. They're not being invited to the conversation. So it's kind of hard to move anything along when they don't even invite you into the room.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. There have been virtually no conversations between the Democrats and the governor and the legislative Republicans. Again, that's not what Governor Snyder promised. He promised during his campaign he'd govern on a bipartisan basis, that he would work with folks, but Democrats have been completely shut out of the legislative process so far. They've offered amendment after amendment to try to make some improvements in this terrible legislation, but they've all been shut down.
Yeah, Mark, let me ask you, as this often happens, and unfortunately it happens the way it does, but, you know, normally when, you know, we elect somebody and they don't turn out to be who we thought they were going to be, of course I don't mean you and I, because we knew who this guy was going to turn out to be, Governor Rick Snyder. Do you find that you've got, especially, I would think, in the last 90 days, more people turning to the Michigan Democratic Party, joining the party, wanting to get more involved in what's going on?
Yes, in all kinds of different ways, Tony. I mean, I mentioned the 400 senior citizens I met with last week in northern Michigan. I attended some other party events over the weekend, big turnout. Our membership is climbing, contributions going up. The sad part is, I guess there's a silver lining here, though, that this has really energized folks who either unfortunately voted for this guy, so they bought his snake oil last year, or didn't vote. And are now realizing that you've got to get out and fight every election if you're a progressive. If you take an election off, see what happens. The other side steps into that vacuum, they grab power, and you get people like Rick Snyder, Paul Ryan, John Boehner, and the rest of them. So people are energized, and we're trying to channel that energy and you're turning this around in 2:12.
Yeah, and Mark, let's just remind people, you and I have been through more than one or two election cycles ourselves, and you know we've helped elect some awfully good Democrats, and including Jennifer Granholm and John Kerry, including Barack Obama and others, Mark. But, you know, this is one of these, and what I am hoping to do with this show, that once we get things turned around in 2012, that we, instead of turning down the heat at that point, that we just keep the heat turned up, Mark. I think that as passionate Democrats and progressives, if we learn nothing else from the 2010 election cycle, is that it's never enough to win. We can't be happy with winning ever again. We've got to keep the heat on.
No, that's exactly right. And I urge folks, I'm the chair of the Democratic Party, hold our Democratic elected officials accountable once they get elected. It's not enough to just elect them. Hold them accountable. Make them keep their promises. Make them adopt and pass progressive legislation and keep pushing the agenda. Keep pushing the agenda so we don't slide back like we did in 2010.
All right, and I'll let this be our last piece of business. I just got an email, and I've not clicked on the link, so I don't know what the article says. But I'm going to read you the headline, Mark Brewer, and I'll let you tell me what you think this article is all about. Power of positive pushing, the Snyder effect at Mackinac. I can't even fathom what that story is about. The Snyder effect.
Well, what it was, Tony, is that, and I said this about his major speech, it was about 50% corporate cheerleading and about 50% standard Republican trickle-down ideology. You know, there was a lot of the corporate pep talk. You and I have heard all the nonsense over the years. There's bland talk of teamwork and all this other stuff, but in fact it just means falling in line behind the corporate leader and whatever ideas that they've got. Some people like that stuff. You and I, a lot of others, see right through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mark Brewer, I want to thank you for being with us today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again next Monday. And I'll let you know how things go with Bobby Shostak, see if we can get him even to pick up the phone, let alone get him on the air. But let's see what we can do.
That'd be great, Tony. Thank you very much.
All right, Mark Brewer, again, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, and we want to thank him for being with us this week and every week. I got to tell you, I've known Mark a long time. And, I want to go back a few years when Saul Anousis was the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. And I will tell you, Saul was a likable guy. And he, not unlike Shostak and Betsy DeVos and others that have been chair people of the Republican Party in the state of Michigan, none of them ever want to debate Mark. They don't mind following him. They don't mind going before him. But they never want to be with him for some reason. And I can't imagine why that is, because Mark's a very fair guy. You know, Mark's willing to talk facts. Mark's willing to agree to the questions ahead of time. And they all continue to not want to be with him in the same place at the same time. And I was really shocked by Saul Anousis, which by the way, is a name that comes up as a potential challenger to Senator Debbie Stabenow. I don't see it happening, but it may. It may. And again, he's a nice enough guy. He just happens to be a Republican, and, he has his own agenda. Radford, you're making me laugh.
Sorry about that.
Jeff gives me little verbal cues that you folks can't hear. So he just gave me half the time and then doubled my time. So I don't know what to do now. Should we go dancing, out to dinner?
I was so worried about hitting the one, and I was like, okay, here we go.
Well, that's all right. Man, is today not going by fast, Jeff, or what?
Yeah, and actually, and Harvey Santana's the blame. He was so passionate for an hour, the whole 7 o'clock hour just went by.
Whoosh, psh, gone. All right, well, we're going to take a break. My good friend, Hanson Clark, congressman from the 13th Congressional District. When we continue here on First Shift, stay with us. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, still seeing some pretty big delays in a few different places. 96 East at Warren, an accident trying to clear. 96 East at Milford, another one there trying to pull out of there. 75 South, very slow from at least 14 Mile Road down to about 8 miles. 696 West, coming into Quinder out to Southfield, kind of all the way out toward Telegraph. Telegraph construction northbound 12 miles to Maple down to two lanes. Also looks like we have a lane taken out southbound as you're coming in from about 14 down to 13 Mile Road. That's been a surprise and giving us some slow traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today. Our high near 85. Tonight, though, thunderstorms. A low near 67. Tomorrow, a slight chance of thunderstorms and a high near 88. Right now, partly cloudy at Metro Airport and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Organizers of a labor rally in Erie, Pennsylvania on Saturday intended to show solidarity between unions currently in negotiations with General Electric. They expected more than 1,000 workers to show up, but when more than 3,000 filled the Hammer Mill Center at Gannon University, the organizers said they were surprised. 10 unions have been in negotiations with GE since May 23rd. The current contract offered by GE would end the defined pension plan for new hires and implement a health care plan that doubles the cost for workers. Outside of the contract, another issue that was highlighted at Saturday's rally was GE's profit-making while not paying taxes. According to a recent report in New York Times, GE saw $14.2 billion in worldwide profits in 2010, with $5.1 billion thanks to U.S. operations. GE reported that it only paid 7.4% in taxes on those U.S. profits. What GE pays in taxes is barely a third of the average of other major corporations. Further upsetting workers is that GE has reduced U.S. employment by 22,000 jobs since 2007, even while President Barack Obama has tapped GE chief executive Jeffrey Immelt as U.S. job czar. Meanwhile, a couple states away in Wisconsin, Walkerville returned to the Capitol. Walkerville is a tent city of sorts that originally popped up during the first 30 days of protests at the Wisconsin Capitol. This week, Walkerville returned, surrounding the Capitol, to protest the governor's deep budget cuts. Doug Cunningham spoke with some of the first residents of this new Walkerville.
Betsy Kippers, vice president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, was one of the first people setting up tents in Walkerville.
Since we are no longer able to voice our protests inside the Capitol building, we decided to set out a tent city outside the building to make sure people are hearing our voices against Governor Walker's budget, which is being dealt with this week. So we are going to be out here until the budget is done, and we are going to have our voices heard about the damage that Governor Walker is doing to the citizens of this state with his budget.
Beth McClure was erecting a tent with her husband and two small children.
Close to $800 million of education cuts are a real concern for us. Medicaid cuts, the national level, the conversation about Medicare. I just hope that this brings more attention to the issues of income inequality and the fact that we as a country have decided to give benefits to wealthy corporations and wealthy individuals while middle class and working class people are paying for the Great Recession.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Truppiano, 35 minutes after the hour. And as promised, if you were listening early on in the show, I played some audio from Congressman Hanson Clark on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives in an amendment to a bill that protected all of us in Southeast Michigan. I just find this man so inspiring. I consider him a friend. And the last time we talked, he was ending his tenure as a state senator and now proudly representing the 13th Congressional District in Southeast Michigan. But I'm telling you, when Hanson Clark went to Washington, all of Michigan won. And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark, welcome to First Shift. It's a pleasure to talk with you again.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
Well, I've missed you. I'm proud of you. Congratulations for everything you've been able to accomplish. And could not have been prouder than when I saw on C-SPAN last week you getting up and fighting for the people of Southeast Michigan, making sure that our first responders have the tools and the money they need to make sure that they can do that. Not only did you do that, Congressman, you were able to do it with bipartisan support. I hope that hasn't gone unnoticed.
Well, I appreciate you acknowledging that, and I think you're the first person really to recognize that accomplishment is the fact that we're able to get Republicans on board to make sure that Metro Detroit local police, firefighters, and emergency medical providers get the equipment and training that they need, because here in Metro Detroit, we're either at high risk of a terrorist attack because of our location, busiest international border crossing, or we could be hit with a tornado, or by having our local police and fire prepared, that protects all citizens against crime.
Well, then there's no question that that's true. And what you pointed out, and the reason I played that audio earlier on, because you perfectly were able to connect the dots, Congressman Hanson-Clark, and close that circle, in that as we have seen, you know, property values plummet, as we see local municipalities struggling desperately to try to make ends meet, as we see especially here in the state of Michigan, where we have a Republican legislature and governor who has decided to shift the tax burden to the middle class, the working, the middle class, the working poor and senior citizens. We need federal dollars to make sure that we don't lose any more of those people that help to protect and serve us.
Tony, you're absolutely right. The reason why our local communities don't have the money, one main reason they don't have the money to properly staff their local police, fire, emergency medical providers is because Congress and the other elected officials have not effectively slowed down the foreclosure crisis, which has destroyed property values and really hurt the local units of government ability to raise the money that they need to fund their local police and fire departments. You're absolutely right. So that's why, again, the federal government should step in, because this is a national security issue. And in a sense, I'm saying, look, Congress, you're responsible for at least trying to address this foreclosure issue. We haven't yet. So let's at least make sure that our citizens are well protected.
Well, again, my guest is Congressman Hanson-Clark. You know, I have to ask you, you know, you've served Southeast Michigan for a very long time. I should remind this audience that you have been, you know, a career politician in the best sense, Congressman. But, you know, you took a big leap and you decided to run for Congress, and certainly nobody was happier that you decided to do that than I was. You were elected. Tell me, how was the first, five, 6 months of your serving in the nation's capital been to you?
Well, the main point I was trying to accomplish running for Congress and then being elected is that this job that I have, it's not a prize for the elected official, but it's there to serve the public. I mean, that's the reason why we have an effective representative democracy, is that folks who get elected to office, their main mission, their only mission really should be to serve the community. But in the past, probably for decades in Detroit, the sentiment was is that people would run for office so that they could be served by the taxpayer, which is ridiculous. So I went in with the attitude, I've got to let folks know politics, that doesn't matter to me, whether somebody was with me or not, who cares about that? My goal is to serve our community, everybody. So I've made that my mission. And because of that, because it's not about me or some partisan or political ideology, I believe we've been able to be successful because we represent people. That's our main goal.
You know, and Congressman Clark, have you been a little bit surprised by how the national, not only the national media, but nationally, you know, constituency around the country have really kind of, you know, attached themselves to you? I mean, you know, and you've gotten a lot of national attention for being you, for just going and serving, as if that's something that should be, and it should be admired, but it seems to be like it's the exception rather than the rule.
Tony, you know, you're raising a good point. I felt the best way to represent people was to really be open, you know, be myself, because that's the best way I can actually listen to people. Since I was supposed to work on their behalf, I need to listen to them. So you're absolutely right. I try not to have preconceived notions of what needs to be done. I clearly try to listen to the people.
Oh, you clearly do listen to the people. Again, anybody that has known you for any length of time knows that when you get up in the morning, and I said this earlier today, Congressman, when you get up in the morning, your thought, your first thought is, how can I serve those who have gifted me this opportunity? You see this as a gift. You understand that you were hired, not elected. You were hired by the people of your district to go to work for them, and you take that very, very seriously.
Tony, you're totally right. You know, in this representative form of government, what makes our country extraordinary is that you and I, as citizens, we can hire people to be our voice in government, and then people like me, we have the constitutional duty to be that voice. So that's why right now I'm working on what I can do to help stabilize home values, to give people more time to stay in their homes. And, you know, a lot of these lenders are trying to evict homeowners, but they don't even hold the mortgage or the promissory note. So I'm going to require them prove that you are owed this money before you try to throw somebody out of their home.
Yeah, well, and then that's the kind of protection that we need, especially at the federal level. You know, it's interesting as, and I want to suggest to people, if you go to YouTube and just, you know, search for Hanson Clark, you're going to find lots of floor speeches. What's wonderful is that, you know, he's got his own little channel there, and you'll find all this stuff. What's wonderful, when he talks about his district, it's never just, it's always about Michigan, Southeast Michigan, and his, he never excludes anybody from the conversation. He understands why he's there. You know, I say, Congressman, that you are truly the Mr. Smith of Jimmy Stewart lore. Well, no, and I really believe that. Again, we've known each other a long time. You know, you were the guy, and I want to remind people, you were the guy that said, hey, you know, my constituents in the city of Detroit are being cheated on their automobile insurance rates. You never let that argument go. And you know what? It didn't matter if you won or lost. You always made sure that you protected those that elected you to represent them. You are Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
No,
I appreciate you being a great advocate for our folks, too, and help democratizing our airwaves.
Well, I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that. Very quickly, because we are almost out of time here, there's been a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment. This is something that has been a pet project of yours. You want more to be done to tone down that racist that racist tone, do you not?
Yes, absolutely. Now, the facts are is that, you know, thousands of innocent Americans were killed during the 9/11 attacks. So that's why terrorist attacks it's an emotional issue. But if we base our national security on profiling people, first of all, that's not fair. It does promote hate and bigotry, but also it's ineffective. You're focusing on people that are likely not involved in terrorist activities, while the terrorists actually are going to be able to plot and get into this country. Or more than likely, Tony, the terrorists are really coming from within our country. We need to boost up our first responders' capacity. We want to make sure that our local police and fire can at least communicate to each other, upgrading their radios, that type of thing. Not profiling somebody based on their name or how they appear or their religion. No, absolutely not.
Well, I got to tell you, and you know, I am so proud of the work that you're doing. I'm so happy for the 13th congressional district here in the state of Michigan, who just adore you, and for all the right reasons. Because, and I've said it, I'm not going to repeat myself. You really are that guy that gets up and goes to work every day. I'm hoping that sometime in the very near future, when you're in district, perhaps we'll run into each other. Would love to have lunch at some point and see you again, Congressman.
I would love to do that, Tony. And thank you again for spreading the word that people can actually have a government that works for them and not, you know, just all the big corporations and the folks with money, but for all of us. Well, really, we're the ones that have the money because collectively we fund the government. So this is our government.
Absolutely. Well, you can let Ashley know in your office that I'm going to start driving her crazy. I'm going to want you on all the time, so just be prepared.
Thank you very much, Tony.
God bless you, Congressman Hanson Clark. Right. Thanks for being with us today.
Same to you.
All right. You know, just an amazing guy. I'm telling you, do your homework on Hanson Clark and what you're going to find. And that he really is Mr. Smith. This is not an exaggeration. This is not, I'm blowing this guy up to be something he's not. Anybody that knows him, In fact, if there's anybody listening to the show right now that knows Hanson Clark and would like to call and give a testimonial, he is that guy. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. We're going to take a quick break here. We've got some time for some calls if you'd like to join us, and we'll wrap things up on the other side. Don't punch out yet. There's about 10 more minutes left of this thing we call First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Tony, what's going on? What's up?
1310 AM, WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Justice. Is justice really blind? Is justice worth dying for? Worth fighting for? Justice is coming to you. Two men, one woman. The human rights perspective. Fighting for justice. Every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Right here on 1310 a.m. WDTW.
If you're in business and still don't have a website, you're missing out on thousands of potential customers that can help your business grow. Let the professionals at DWP Music Services connect your business to the World Wide Web. They can design anything from a simple one-page site to a full-blown e-commerce marketplace. It's time to take your business into the 21st century. Call DWP Music Services for a free consultation. 248-545-6612. That's 248-545-6612.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I want to remind you, before we get out of here today, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. Is it time to repeal Michigan helmets law? Is it time to repeal the law? And just go to the First Shift Facebook page and vote, or you can send us an email at tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org, and let your voice be heard. There's going to be a change with a new governor and a new legislature. Yep, they're going to change it, and you're not going to like it. I'm going to tell you because, you know, we were talking about this earlier in the day. We had a couple callers on this. The cost to take care of somebody with a closed head injury is astronomical, truly astronomical. All right, so, you know, Jeff sends me this morning or gives me this morning this article, and it says, per mile driven, to be the new tax? Question mark. Okay, so I mentioned this on the show a few weeks ago, but here it is again. If you hate gas taxes, do you cringe at the thought of European-style gas taxes that make $8 a gallon or more? Should the government tax drivers based on how many miles they travel? Huh? How do you like that one? The concept is this. The more you drive, the more you would pay. One of the reasons the per-mile tax is an idea at all is the growth of electric and hybrid vehicles, and as well as the fact that all vehicles are becoming more fuel efficient. But states are losing money, and a lot of it, because of tax dollars aren't being raised. A per-mile tax is a long way from becoming law. The economic trials faced by states and are real, and roads, bridges, and tunnels are crumbling, especially in the Northeast, Midwest, and right here in the Great Lakes State. How would you feel about, maybe that'll be, you know, anything, Radford, should that be our poll question of the day tomorrow? Would you rather, how would we do that one? Would you rather pay gas tax on how much you drive or just at the pump?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you have to form it in a way. Obviously, if you just ask, would you want to pay more taxes, then I can guess what the majority of the response would be. But maybe even, you know, suggestions on how to do it. I know over the weekend, my family got together, and suddenly, you know, it's funny how a topic floats in a certain direction. And a lot of, you know, my uncles and my dad started talking about how they want to see the sales tax actually increase instead of, you know, property tax or other things, because then you get the tourists and the tourism people all helping to pay for it all. And I started thinking, well, that's, you know, that kind of stuff, even this mileage thing, it still affects the people at the bottom more. It's a bottom-up tax. If you don't have a lot of money and yet you still need to drive a distance to get to and from work, it affects you more than somebody who makes a lot of money and can pay that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does. I mean, there's no question. Again, this is why, you know, we need to do, and we will in the very near future, the graduated tax that's based on, literally, it's your fair share is what it should be called. There is a way to tax us that would tax you your fair share based on your income. People wouldn't like it. A lot of people wouldn't like it, especially those that make more money. But it would be fair because it would be based on a percentage of what you make, Jeff, which, you know, is only fair. And I want to remind people once again that under Ronald Reagan, we paid almost three times the taxes we pay now. And at some point, we're going to have to look at raising taxes to get us out of this situation. I mean, it's just a reality. Remarkable. As I was reading the paper yesterday, remarkable. AIDS is 30 years old. The discovery of AIDS turns 30 in the month of June. And unfortunately, as this article points out, there's a lot of complacency in this country about it for a couple of reasons. Number one, it is treatable. Although not curable, it is treatable. And, you know, more and more people, of course, are living with the virus. And so, it, you know, we have a tendency when things aren't in the critical stages any longer to become complacent. And unfortunately, AIDS is one of those issues that it was heartbreaking to read this story, because still more and more people are just not taking it as seriously because it is better treated than ever before. And you can live a very long time without, you know, you could be HIV positive and, you know, not end up with, of course, full-blown AIDS. And so just hard to believe, 30 years. I remember that so well. I truly do. I remember that so well. So anyway, just wanted to mark that. And then, you know, I'm not going to have time to get into this one. I'm actually, you know, Jeff, I'm trying to be a little more conscious of how much paper I waste. I, as you know, I print off a lot of stories, and a lot of times I don't get to them, although I do use the backs of the piece of paper. I really do. I print on both sides, but I'm trying to utilize my my paper better. That's all. I'm not being a cheapskate, honestly. I'm just trying to make sure that I don't waste paper. All right, so here we go, folks. I got to tell you, and you're going to hear a little bit about this, and not a whole lot from me. Governor Snyder announced, and there was a little bit of mention in the paper, not as much as I would have thought, by the way, that there's going to be $3 billion available for businesses through Huntington Bank, and that's not true. You know, see, it's another one of those things that's not true. And the headline reads, how a new initiative provides much-needed capital for Michigan businesses. And it talks about this $3 billion investment. Huntington Banks is coming forward with $200 million in assistance to leverage private lending and directly support startup companies. It sounds great.
And Tony, I don't know much about it either, but the Huntington Bank that they're using is located out of Ohio. Why wouldn't they find a bank in Michigan
I don't know that there is a. Is there a? I mean, Comerica is a Michigan-based company, but I got to tell you, your better banks in Michigan are far too conservative to do anything like this. So that would be number one. Number two, as you start breaking this thing down, there really isn't a lot of money going to. We're talking about $200 million. It's a $3 billion program, but only $200 million is available, Jeff, for loans. How is that a $3 billion investment in the Michigan economy?
It's just a big, impressive number.
It is a big billion. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. You ready for this? Utilities have, quote, unquote, promised to buy Michigan. So like DTE and Consumers Power, they've pledged $500 million in buying Michigan. Whatever the hell that means.
And yet they're going to loan from Ohio.
Yeah. And they want us to just believe this. And so you got those conservatives. By the way, very quickly, because I know we're almost out of time. The crazy emailer has been driving me nuts today. I got three emails from him already today. He must see. We thought he took the weekend off.
So he's got to make up for
it. He's got to make up for it. Told me that Senator Harvey Santana. This is what I love about these guys. He's a state rep, not a senator. He gets everything wrong with what Harvey said. But he tells me I'm an idiot and I got to stop having these quote unquote stupid morons on the air. By the way, he works for Ford Motor Company. Got to think twice. Nah, I'm not going to say that. All right, we're out of here for today. I'm Tony Trupiano. I want to thank Todd and Jeff for all of their hard work. And we've got a great show lined up for you tomorrow. Again, off the air, you can reach me, Tony, at thetonyshow.org. I'm out of here for today. You can now punch out. This is First Shift. And you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. It's been kind of slow along Telegraph. Both directions between roughly 12 and Maple, we've got construction. And unfortunately, that's really giving us quite a slowdown northbound backing up into the interchange with 696 and M10. Drivers on the route are through there. You're seeing the delays, but most of the slowdowns on 696, it's westbound coming into Quinder out to Southfield, out to Telegraph. Southbound 75 slow from Rochester all the way down to about 9 Mile at times. 94 west, it's been slow coming in from Ross and pockets down to 75. 94 eastbound, coming in from Dearborn, that Michigan Avenue area, in toward 96, it's been slow.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today, our high near 85. Tonight, though, thunderstorms. A low near 67. Tomorrow, a slight chance of thunderstorms and a high near 88. Right